Good evening and welcome to the Board of Regents special meeting for December 30th, 2021. The first item is roll call.
Chair Pro Tem Del Carlo. Vice Chair Pro Tem Carvalho.
Here.
Regent Arascada.
There.
Regent Boylan.
Present.
Regent Brooks. Regent Carter.
Good afternoon, this is Kathy.
Regent Carter.
Good afternoon, this is
Regent Dubrava.
Hi, Donald.
Hi.
Regent Dubrava.
I think this is how the last meeting started, me and you.
Regent Geddes.
Hearing each other.
Here.
Regent McAdoo.
I can't hear anybody either. I'll check Carrie.
Still have the room muted at this point.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Here.
Oh, Regent Dubrava, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Thank you. Shall I start again? Okay. Okay, I can start again.
We're going to start again with roll call since we've had some technical issues.
Chair Pro Tem Del Carlo. Vice Chair Pro Tem Carvalho.
Here.
Regent Arascada.
There.
Regent Boylan.
Here.
Regent Brooks.
Here.
Regent Carter.
Here.
Regent Dubrava.
Here.
Regent Geddes.
Here.
Regent McAdoo.
Here.
Regent McMichael.
Here.
Regent Moran. Regent Perkins.
Here.
Regent Tarkanian. You have a quorum present.
Thank I'm you. Here. I got cut off, you guys. I'm here.
Thank you, Chair Del Hello. Carlo. We'll note that. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, next item is the Pledge of Allegiance. Will everybody please rise and join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now to our land acknowledgement. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Niue, Western Shoshone, and Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. Welcome to the meeting today. The first thing I'd like to say is it's very important for everybody to keep their masks on, covering their nose and mouth at all times. I would like to welcome the regents, chancellor, cabinet, presidents, faculty and staff, as well as the public who have joined us here today for this special meeting. As vice chair pro tem, I will be presiding over this meeting today as chair pro tem Del Carlo is traveling and only able to join us remotely while in travel status. I thought it might be appropriate to share with the public the purpose and background of tonight's special meeting. Today's agenda items are related to both the ENCHI employee COVID-19 vaccine mandate, as well as the ENCHI student COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Some context might be warranted. On October 20th, 2021, the Nevada Board of Health issued an emergency regulation to mandate that all students at any ENCHI institution be required to receive a COVID-19 vaccination to attend classes. The Board of Health based its decision upon the medical and scientific expertise of the board, as well as recommendations from the ENCHI COVID-19 Task Force and the Governor's COVID-19 Medical Advisory Team. As a result of this emergency directive, which had the effect of law, ENCHI institutions required all students to provide proof of COVID-19 vaccination to register for classes in spring 2022. The emergency regulation of the Board of Health was only effective for 120 days, at which time the Board of Health was required to adopt the provision as a permanent regulation. The legal process for an agency to adopt a permanent regulation requires review by the Nevada Legislative Commission. On December 21st, 2021, the Board of Health presented this proposed permanent regulation to the Legislative Commission, and the Legislative Commission, in a split 6-6 vote, declined to authorize the permanent regulation. As a result, state law no longer mandated a student COVID-19 vaccination for students to attend an ENCHI institution. Consequently, Chancellor Rose directed the institutions to release any holds on student registrations for failure to receive the vaccination, and non-vaccinated students began registering for the spring 2022 classes. Nearly simultaneous in time to the imposition of the emergency regulation to impose student COVID-19 vaccine mandates, the Board of Regents took up the issue of mandatory employee COVID-19 vaccinations. On September 30th, 2021, the Board adopted an emergency amendment to the ENCHI code to impose a mandatory employee COVID-19 vaccination as a condition of employment. As emergency provisions, they would only be effective for 120 days, unless the board voted to make the provisions permanent. Those employees who did not comply with the vaccine requirement pursuant to the provisions of the code on or before December 1st, 2021, were provided notice that their employment would be terminated effective December 31st, 2021. On December 3rd, 2021, the board made permanent this amendment to the ENCHI code. So the purpose of this meeting tonight, under the Board of Regents handbook, the chair of the board is required to call a special meeting of the board upon the written request of at least 5 regents. Upon the determination of the Legislative Commission on December 21st, 2021, not to make permanent the regulations of the Board of Health regarding the mandatory student COVID-19 mandate, the board's interim chief of staff received requests for a special meeting from Regents Boylan, Brooks, Carter, McAdoo, and Perkins to reconsider the board's now permanent employee COVID-19 vaccine requirement. Given the pending employee terminations effective tomorrow, December 31st, 2021, and concerns regarding whether there may be any implication to the employee policy based upon the termination of the student COVID-19 mandates, the board will consider whether to maintain, repeal, or amend as an emergency measure our now permanent employee COVID-19 vaccine mandate policy. The board will consider whether to take a formal position in support of mandatory student COVID-19 vaccinations by authorizing the chancellor, in consultation with the chair pro tem, to issue a letter of support to those government entities with authority over this matter. With that background, I'd now like to turn to agenda item number 1, public comment. The board has members of the public present here today in Las Vegas, Reno, and Elko who may wish to provide public comment. We'll start with live public comment from Reno, Elko, and Las Vegas. We have received over 400 written public comments this evening, and those will be included on our record and have been provided to the regents. We will take live public comment from each of our meeting locations. So As a reminder, in addition, each public comment is at a limitation of 2 minutes, and each person making public comment are asked to begin by stating their name for the record and to spell their last name. In addition, in accordance with Attorney General Opinion Number 00-047, as restated in Attorney General's Open Meeting Law Manual, the board chair may prohibit comment if the content of that comment is a topic that is not relevant to or within the authority of the Board of Regents, or the content is willfully disruptive of the meeting by being irrelevant, repetitious, slanderous, offensive, inflammatory, irrational, or amounting to personal attacks or interfering with the rights of other speakers. So I'll start with public comment in Reno. Is there any public comment in Reno?
Good evening. Kent Irvin, ERVIN, State President, Nevada Faculty Alliance. We submitted this petition for safe NSU campuses from now over, from actually at last count, 3,386 members of the NSU community in favor of continued vaccination requirements for students and employees and other measures recommended by public health experts. That shows the high level of concerns by students, faculty, and staff. Our shared goal is to return to full in-person instruction safely. Vaccinations are the first line of defense against both the spread and serious illnesses from the coronavirus. With the impending surge of Omicron, now is not the time to backtrack. The latest CDC data indicates that unvaccinated individuals are 5 times more likely to have a positive case and 14 times more likely to die than the fully vaccinated. No vaccine is perfect, but that is very good efficacy. But it means that an unvaccinated student in a packed classroom is 5 times more likely to be pretest positive. That concerns us. Rather than debating about eliminating the vaccination requirements for employees, the regents need to promote safe campuses by 1, working with the governor and the Board of Health to extend the student vaccination requirements, 2, following the advice of the NSU COVID Task Force to take all necessary public health measures, 3, giving authority to the presidents and institutions for responses tailored to local situations, including switching to remote operations if needed again, 4, allocating resources for enhanced mitigation measures, such as free testing and high-quality masks, and 5, ensuring that instructors have the ability to change their mode of delivery based on the conditions in their own classrooms. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment in Reno live? I see some more coming up. Thank you.
Hello, Regents. Okay. My name is Abby Pike. That's P-I-K-E for the record. I'm a third-year student at the University of Nevada, Reno, and I am here today in strong support of maintaining the employee vaccine mandates as it currently stands. The coronavirus pandemic has been extremely difficult for us students and for faculty members. Many of us are looking forward to an in-person spring semester and graduation ceremony, but this can only be accomplished by maintaining strong safeguards against the spread of the virus. Vaccine mandates for students and faculty members are an essential aspect of this, as they will help limit the spread of COVID, allow the campuses to remain open, and keep the members of our community safe. There's no doubt that the COVID-19 vaccine is safe and effective, and it is one of the best tools that we have for preventing a major outbreak on Nevada campuses. I love attending the University of Nevada, Reno, but during the semesters when classes were moved online, I felt that the quality of my education was lower. It was difficult to connect with the professors and the subject materials, and I struggled to stay motivated. Students are here tonight during our winter break because we want to study on campus this spring, and we need strong protections against the spread of COVID to do so. I urge every member of the board to put aside partisan goals and allow science and medical advice to guide your decision. Please vote in favor of maintaining the employee mandate and supporting a student mandate. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next in Reno.
Yes, good evening, everyone. My name is Robert Resnick, R-E-S-N-I-K for the record, and I'm a student at the University of Nevada, Reno. I'm here tonight to support the board's motions mandating employee vaccinations and supporting student vaccinations. Getting to return to campus this past semester was a phenomenal experience, and it's largely due to the success of the vaccination rates on campus that provided students with the peace of mind knowing that they wouldn't be at risk of contracting COVID-19 or possibly giving it to their loved ones at home. This success is largely due to the efforts of the community at large, and also to the mandate that was, you know, enacted and unfortunately repealed. If we as a community want to ensure the success of our students, then we need to ensure that all members of our community are vaccinated, so that way our students can remain on campus and continue to receive the type of educations that they require. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Regents. My name is Nathan Noble, for the record, N-A-T-H-A-N-N-O-B-L-E. I'm a second year student at the university, and here I am a senator for the College of Liberal Arts. But today, instead of talking about the efficacy of vaccinations or about the reasons that we should absolutely support a student mandate and continue the faculty mandate, I want to share my experience with you. Because oftentimes when we look at these issues, we look at the numbers, we look at how the effects happen in the abstract, but it's easy to lose the people behind the issue. My first year on campus was completely virtual. And actually, I have personal experience living in the dorms and having to go into lockdown because of someone testing positive for COVID-19. Spending 2 weeks in a room the size of a prison cell, being there and every day going to class, not by walking outside, but taking 3 steps to my laptop, was absolute hell. And it disrupted my education in a way I can't properly articulate. Beyond that, the effects of the COVID-19 virus on those who contracted it are unspeakable. So when you're making this decision, I urge you, as my colleagues have, to consider the efficacy of vaccines, the scientific and medical consensus. But more than anything else, please think of the students. Think of the consequences of your decision. Think of the people that can get hurt if we decide wrong. Right now, your students look to you. They look to you for a decision. They look to you for protection. So please, please make the right decision. Thank you. I yield the floor.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Diego Lim, spelled L-I-M. I am a third-year student at the University of Nevada, Reno, and I also serve as the Director of Campus Wellness for the 89th session of the Associate Students of the University of Nevada. 22,248 mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, wives, husbands. 22,248 someone, somebody. That is how many individuals that dedicate their daily lives in advancing higher education in the state of Nevada that we would put in danger if the board reverses the mandate for COVID-19 vaccines. No one needs a reminder of the repercussions of this pandemic, how many lives we lost, how many opportunities we missed on, how many barriers were put in our lifestyles. Reversing the mandate would not only be a disservice to Nevada systems of higher education, but would be a setback in the progress you all have made in advancing higher education in the state of Nevada. Lastly, I would like to remind you all of the Chancellor's message dating back to September 30th, 2021. It reads, "The health and wellness of Nevada's public higher education community, including NC students, faculty, staff, continues to be our highest priority as the world struggles to battle this ongoing pandemic. The world is still struggling to battle this ongoing pandemic. Hence, the health and well-being of Nevada's public higher education community should remain the highest in all of your priorities, not political bipartisanship, falsified scientific information, or any other reason." Again, 22,248.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Christina Sherbrook. S-H-E-R-B-R-O-O-K. So what I know is that a healthy immune system keeps us healthy. And we all need to learn and to discuss the ways that we can strengthen our immune systems. Recently, the Legislative Commission failed to pass the vaccine mandate submitted by the Nevada Department of Health. These legislators are our representatives. Please do not try to go around our legislative body to impose unconstitutional mandates. I say no to vaccine mandates. When 85 to 90% of the faculty in higher education here are already vaccinated. Why is there a threat to these individuals and the students with their healthy immune systems and a very low likelihood to have adverse reactions to the COVID-19 virus? Why is there such fear? Also, the governor has no legal authority over the sovereign citizens' health, our minds, our bodies, and our personal choices. His emergency mandates of about the last 2 years now have destroyed much in our state. Can we look at these things, please? They are also destroying the hopes and dreams of our young people here, and I really care about them very much. I care about the health of every individual in our state and everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there more public comment in Reno?
No, there's not.
Thank you. Now I'll go to Elko. Is there public comment in Elko?
Yes, there is public comment in Elko.
Stand up.
Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Janine Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N. I am the state president of Nevada Families for Freedom, representing families from every community in the state. We are totally against requiring mandatory vaccines. We encourage you to vote for option 3, which repeals the code provisions in their entirety, thereby eliminating the vaccine requirement for all NSHE employees and revoking all previously issued notices of termination based on vaccine status. Otherwise, it is coercion. We also oppose mandatory vaccines for students and any attempt of the board to promote that. Probably 90% or more of the NSHE staff and faculty have already been vaccinated. If the vaccine works, they have nothing to fear from those who are unvaxxed. Making vaccines mandatory already failed to pass the legislative commission. This appears an attempt to circumvent and subvert that decision. Individuals have many legitimate reasons for not taking the vax. People like me who have already had COVID have no need to take a vaccine, as natural immunity is far more effective than these experimental vaccines. Many people have medical reasons not to be vaccinated. My daughter, who works at a hospital in Nevada, has a medical exemption because at age 2, she had a severe life-threatening reaction to a vaccine. She had a febrile seizure, went into anaphylactic shock, and quit breathing. I was able to resuscitate her. One important health reason to refuse a vaccine is if a woman is pregnant. 8 out of 10 women have had spontaneous abortions if they took the vax before the third trimester. The general rate of miscarriage in the U.S. is much lower than that, as low as 10 to 26%. Others have deeply held religious reasons to oppose the vaxes. It has been very difficult for individuals to obtain religious exemptions. The Utah legislature has passed legislation which not only recognizes medical and religious exemptions, but also exemptions for personal reasons. We recommend that very reasonable standard for your consideration. The mandatory vax is a violation of our individual liberties and our right to determine what we put in our bodies regarding our own health.
Your time
please
is
reject
up,
these mandates. Thank you.
Thank you. Please
Good
go
evening.
Ahead.
My name is Vernon Hatch, H-A-T-C-H, from Elko. I'm a resident here. Some CDC numbers have been stated so far, and really, a glaring example of the CDC's public health failure can be seen in the vaccine adverse events reporting system, which represents only a small portion of the actual adverse events that are being seen. But according to the VAERS system, so far the vaccination is responsible for 19,886 deaths, hospitalizations 102,857. Urgent care, 104,217 visits. Bell's palsy, 11,896. Anaphylaxis, 8,432. Doctor's office visits, 148,181. Miscarriages, 2,508. Heart attacks, 8,136. Myocarditis, 9,470. And that is primarily what hits the college-age kids. permanently disabled, 24,805. Shingles, 9,472 cases. Severe allergic reaction, 31,196. Life-threatening, 18,239. So we have almost 20,000 deaths and almost a million adverse events. And this was as of October 8th. That was 3 months ago. I don't know what it is right now. But Dr. Robert Malone, who is the inventor of the mRNA technology, has stated that, and is on record stating that the young should not be vaccinated with this. If you are vaccinated, why do you have fear over those that don't? We do support on point two, subpart three, to repeal the code provisions entirely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is all the public comment in ELCO.
Thank you. I'll go to public comment in Las Vegas. Please come forward.
Doug Unger, President, UNLV Chapter on Government Affairs Representative, Nevada Faculty Alliance. Thank you, President Pro Temp Carvalho, Vice Chair Pro Temp Carvalho, and all on the board for your consideration. COVID-19 vaccines have been subjected to deliberate campaigns of misinformation, propaganda, and contempt for science and education. Overwhelming evidence confirms that these vaccines are exponentially effective in preventing severe illnesses and deaths. One of the functions of the Regents is, quote, conducting and continuing programs of public service. No public service is more essential than utilizing higher education resources to promote and protect the health of our state. Faculty, staff, and students demand of this board the safest possible educational environments, which means voting to maintain the vaccination requirements. Here are more than 3,000 signatures from faculty, staff, students, and the NSHE community collected in 70 hours showing overwhelming support for vaccination mandates. Suspension of the mandates will move faculty to request transitions to virtual live or online teaching. Keep in mind that should we become infected with COVID-19, beginning in March, we will pay thousands out of pocket for treatment because of cuts to our PEB benefits, and hospitalization costs for the unvaccinated could bankrupt PEB. The 81st legislature eliminated long-term disability insurance, so some of us risk financial catastrophe if we contract a disabling case of long-haul COVID-19. Making our campuses safe is worker, making our campuses less safe is worker and student abuse. We demand of this board your vote for health and safety. Voting to eliminate vaccination mandates would constitute negligent subordination of severe illnesses and deaths. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Zachary Donegan, Zachary Johnigan. I represent the College of Southern Nevada student government. I've read a speech during the Nevada State Board of Health meeting, and I believe that speech is still relevant to the subject matter of this meeting this evening. As a student body president at the College of Southern Nevada, I have been elected to serve the students at CSN. As part of my service, I am the voice of the students. Concerning a mandatory COVID-19 vaccination, CSN and the student government asked the students in a survey, how much do you support a mandate that requires all students attending any Nevada system of higher education institution to receive a COVID-19 vaccination? The survey was open for 6 days. 40% of the 9,710 students surveyed responded saying, I do not support a mandate. I do not support a mandatory COVID-19 vaccination at all, while only 33% say they support it a great deal. We also asked, how much do you support a mandate that requires all students attending any Nevada system of higher education institution to show proof that they have received a COVID-19 vaccination? 41% of the students surveyed said they have no support for this at all, and 33% say they support this a great deal. This survey received the highest amount of feedback in CSN history. Humans should have the right to choose what they put inside their body. That right should not interfere with their ability to pursue higher education that empowers them to achieve, succeed, and prosper. Members of the Nevada System of Higher Education Board of Regents, you have heard the voice of the students at the College of Southern Nevada. Take this voice into consideration when voting tonight. Option number 3 would be the most desirable. Thank you for your listening, and thank you for your service to our shared community.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening. My name is Sophia Takhtajan, T-A-K-H-T-A-D-J-I-A-N. I am a student at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and an associate justice within CSUN UNLV student government. I am here today as a student advocating for the continuation of the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for staff members of NCHE institutions. COVID-19 numbers are reaching all-time highs, and today you'll be making a decision that significantly affects all individuals at NCHE institutions. The Legislative Commission has failed us by revoking the student mandate, and we are asking you not to make the same mistake. If we cannot ensure that the students around us are vaccinated, we at least deserve to know that our staff have been. Our staff deserve to feel safe while working on campus, and students deserve to feel safe while attending their classes. Our health is on the line, and it is up to you guys to vote to maintain our safety. We need to have everyone around us vaccinated to continue and create herd immunity so that those who cannot due to medical reasons stay safe as well. And also, contrary to what other people may say about the mandate being unconstitutional, I would like to remind you that the mandate is constitutional. Vaccination mandates have been since 1905, when the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled so in Jacobson v. Massachusetts. And it has been upheld in courts to this day for vaccine mandates and mask mandates. Individual liberty does not allow people to take actions regardless of the harm that they can cause to others. You've been put in this very position to make the right decisions for members of NCHE institutions. So continue making right decisions and vote in favor of a staff mandate for vaccination against COVID-19. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Isabel Ferguson, spelled F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N. I'm here to speak about the agenda item 2 concerning the employee COVID-19 vaccine requirement. As a current full-time UNLV student and student worker with NCHE, I urge the Board of Regents to maintain the code provisions in their entirety. This decision impacts the safety of NCHE work environments, the student learning experience, and the value at which we hold public health and safety. I serve students who live on UNLV's campus as the president of the Residence Hall Association. With the onset of COVID-19, I've seen budget freezes, fully virtual meetings and events, and the resident and student engagement be at the lowest they have ever been, which has all affected students and staff drastically. As the vaccines roll out and the pandemic started to get under control, many of these negative consequences were starting to get reversed. But this was through implementing health policies that mitigated the risks of the virus as much as possible. I received an email yesterday from my supervisor informing me that with the increase of COVID-19 Omicron variant infection rate, student activities are once again to be downsized until the infection rate lowers. The university once again is starting to implement serious health policies to ensure the safety of students and staff. But as the Board of Regents, you all have the power to give universities the biggest weapon in combating this virus, vaccine mandates. It is imperative that we keep this virus under control to mitigate the negative consequences we are all starting to come out of. Should you choose to repeal the code, which let's remind ourselves is based on the recommendations from the Nevada State Board of Health, you directly and negatively impact public health efforts, thus failing to provide a fulfilling student learning experience and failing to provide to prioritize the health of our older staff and faculty. It would be irresponsible for the NCHE Board of Regents to abandon the strongest tool we have in fighting this pandemic, so I encourage you all to please choose public health and safety to uphold the employee vaccination requirement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Mia Bruce, and I'm a senior majoring in biological sciences at UNLV. As a student, I feel very strongly about the vaccination requirements for both students and faculty. The majority of my science classes have over 100 students, and even the largest auditoriums would not allow for physical distancing. This is the first semester where most of my classes will be in person, and I do not feel safe attending if I cannot physically distance myself for those who are not fully vaccinated. COVID rates are rising again, and I should not have to risk my safety, my health and safety of myself or my loved ones to continue my education. It is also important to note that the consequences of not requiring vaccinations are far-reaching. Both my mother and auntie are nurses. I hear their COVID stories regularly and have witnessed the trauma that this has caused them. They have both lost patients, coworkers, and my mom ended up getting COVID. In fact, my auntie called me this morning and told me to avoid crowds, as Monday was the worst day that she has seen it. The beds in the ER were full, and there were 70 individuals in the waiting room. It was because of this they had to help a patient with a stroke in the hallway. If mandatory vaccinations for faculty and students cannot be obtained, then at the very least, all of our courses should be offered online again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Olivia Chechie. That's O-L-I-V-I-A, last name C-H-E-C-H-E, and I'm a senior at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I'm going to get straight to the point and start off by saying that I have been a vocal critic of NSHE and the Board of Regents for quite some time now. Being frustrated by inequitable policy decisions and a lack of leadership from this system is not a new concept to me. And today, I am speaking up because I am enraged that NSHE's student vaccine mandate was blocked. While I know that this rollback was not the result of a vote taken by this board, I do blame NSHE and the Board of Regents for kicking the can and avoiding leadership on such a critical decision for student health and safety, just as much as I blame those six state legislators on the commission. There have been some pretty questionable decisions that have come out of this system and individual members of this board in recent years. However, if you really want to show leadership on a critical issue and do what is right for community health and safety, I urge you all to reconsider taking action on student vaccine mandates and keep the employee vaccine mandate in place as is. It isn't too late for you all to get involved and work as a system to get these policies implemented. The vaccine is our most important tool in combating this pandemic, and public safety is on the line. That's why the State Board of Health recommended this solution, and that's why we should be listening. Please take action on student vaccine mandates and maintain the employee vaccine mandate, because it just isn't enough to write a letter of support, wait on other parties to put the work in, or extend deadlines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Regents. My name is Ken Cavanaugh, C-A-V-A-N-A-U-G-H, and I'm here because I'm running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District next year. I stand opposed to any sort of a mandate of any sort. Well, you heard me say I'm a libertarian, but I need to correct something that was actually said earlier by one of the speakers. The Supreme Court did overturn the 1903 ruling. They overturned that in 1973 in Roe v. Wade. A person has sole dominion over their own physical being was part of the affirmative ruling, and that still stands today. Even your terminations are unlawful, but to mandate your students, your paying customers, I think is a step beyond the pale. So I urge you to strongly vote this measure down. The students don't want it, and America doesn't want it. Thank you for your time tonight. That's enough.
Thank you. Next. Hello.
Hi, my name is Kyla Bell, B-E-L-L for the record, and I'm a student at UNLV and currently volunteering in the hospital. I am in favor of maintaining the code provisions in their entirety. Currently at the hospital, the influx of patients due to COVID-19 is overwhelming healthcare staff. I have personally seen and heard how strained medical resources and personnel already is due to the pandemic, and right now numbers don't seem to be improving. In fact, at the hospital, adult inpatient beds and ICU beds are nearly capacitated. The absence of beds affects everyone needing medical care. No beds means no beds for COVID patients, no beds for car crash injuries, no beds for heart attack victims. No beds mean no beds. The negligence of vaccination not only hinders medical care of those affected by this pandemic, but as well as those not. As a student and someone who works next to the nurses and healthcare staff who work tirelessly every day to preserve and maintain the health of our community, I believe it is absolutely necessary to protect the people of Las Vegas in any way we can. Vaccinations have always been a part of education, in preserving and ensuring a safe education that is of quality for the students and staff. Now more than ever, it's of utmost importance to vaccinate our staff. When given the option to prevent a dangerous disease, we should and have always, chosen to vaccinate and prevent what we can in our schools. Not only does this action ensure safety among our educators, but eases the pressure off our nurses and hospitals. This pandemic is not over, and numbers of inpatients are growing in hospitals. Education and healthcare need to stay united in their fight against disease, and this starts with mandating vaccinations among our staff and education. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Abraham Lugo, last name L-U-G-O for the record, and I'm the sitting student body vice president at UNLV. Although student voices being ignored has become an unfortunate pattern, evident given we will not be reading the overwhelming amount of comments submitted, I will continue to uphold my job as a representative and outwardly speak up on what is the top priority for everyone on our campus, that being consistent health and safety. The most plausible and effective way of ensuring this for thousands of students that make up not only our campus population, but our state's community, is by the continuous use of masks without exception, along with continuously incentivizing and mandating the added layer of protection from the COVID-19 virus that comes with the vaccine. For this reason, I implore you all to continue the existing policy for vaccine mandates for faculty and to challenge the counterintuitive decision by our legislative commission for the student mandates. If we must speak on consistency, let us remain consistent with the original decision to follow universities across the country that have put partisan opinions aside, irrelevant to fighting this pandemic, and focus solely on protecting one another as fellow human beings. We cannot continue to add fire to divisive rhetorics nearly 2 years into this pandemic. We cannot. Or else we will be having the same conversation as more and more die, avoidable deaths for years to come. Only by working together can we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. Okay, cool. I think it's working. Hi, guys. My name is Alexis Marin, and I'm a part of CSUN. And I'm here to speak on behalf of myself and simply those who are for the vaccine mandate on all employees. I'd like to state that, yes, vaccines are no cure, and yes, vaccines can seem very scary as they can just be a part of the unknown, especially to those who are not science majors or simply just unfamiliar with receiving any type of vaccine in their past. But personally, I believe it's best that as a staff member on a higher education campus, that these vaccines be mandated. This isn't just recommended by myself, but also the CDC. Not only will this vaccine help fight off variants if infected, which can be highly likely considering they're dealing in constantly in contact with college students, but also by being vaccinated, if infected, they are less likely to be hospitalized. Thus, overall, decreasing hospitalization rates, which then creates room for others who are suffering from, et cetera, health problems. At the end of the day, I know that we're all just simply human, meaning we're gonna make individual decisions that we believe is best for ourselves and others. So I just want you guys to know that I really do respect hearing everyone's opinions today and perspectives, and would like to thank everyone for coming out, whether we may agree with each other or not. And lastly, as I respect your guys' opinions, I hope you guys can all do the same for mine. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay. So, hello, everyone. As previously mentioned, my name is Ray Ruiz. I'm a first-generation student at UNLV. I'm a third-year student pursuing a bachelor's degree in biological sciences, currently the president of a pre-health organization on campus, and a associate director in the undergraduate student government, CSUN. However, I do not come in here with any of those roles, but rather just a simply frustrated and concerned student. If you have ever taken a public health class and studied pandemics and epidemics in history, you will find a distinct pattern, which is that the greatest plague to humanity has always been human ignorance. The recent vote taken by the Legislative Commission is a tragic example of human ignorance that will inevitably lead to tragedy in our community. Therefore, I come here today to express my support for the retention of the existing NSHE code and letter of support for a student COVID-19 vaccination. Overturning the vaccine mandate would be counterintuitive to keeping our universities open safely. We know the vaccine mandates and other procedures are effective at covering transmission, and anyone who says otherwise is misinformed. I am disheartened that during a time when the new variant, Omicron, is ravaging through our community and students feel uneasy, we are discussing whether to remove a vaccine mandate for ANSI employees. How can we expect community members to trust in science when the governing body of the highest level of education in our state is questioning whether vaccine mandates are really necessary? Lastly, I ask you all to do one thing. Put your political beliefs aside, self-interest, be unbiased, and have the courage to simply follow the science and save the lives within our community. To put it bluntly, your vote today will be a vote for the betterment of public health in
our
community.
Sorry to interrupt.
Or a vote for tragedy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Laura Nauman, N-A-U-M-A-N-N for the record. I'm a faculty member at Nevada State College and past Senate chair. However, I'm speaking for myself this evening. I want to begin by expressing my extreme disappointment and anger at the recent Legislative Commission's deadlock, which ended the student vaccine mandate. I'm particularly frustrated because as faculty, I want to get back in the classroom, but I want it to be safe for my students and myself. Initially, I felt okay to teach in person in the spring because of the employee and student vaccine mandates. However, with the likely end to both mandates and Omicron cases exploding, I am fearful. I am fearful of the rise in cases, especially because of post-holiday travel, the lack of at-home tests, and difficulty in getting a timely PCR test. I am fearful of the CDC's change in isolation from 10 days to 5 days without requiring proof of negative test. I'm fearful of being in the classroom with 40 students who are not wearing N95s. I am fearful of multiple of my students in my classroom becoming infected. I am fearful of bringing COVID home to my 2.5-year-old daughter who is not eligible to be vaccinated. I am fearful for myself and my loved ones of getting long COVID. Instead of voting to end vaccine mandates, the board should be discussing plans for a safe spring reopening. First, like many other institutions who have pivoted, NSHE institutions should be making plans to start the semester remotely and reintroducing flexible work arrangements. This is especially important until testing is more widely accessible. Second, scientific guidance indicates that cloth masks are not effective for Omicron. NSHE institutions should be providing employees with N95 masks and also being aware of the equity issues to access things like tests and N95s. We should be providing those for students and staff who cannot afford them. My plea to the board, the chancellor, and our presidents is to do everything in your power to create a safe classroom and campus experience for the spring. As faculty, I am deeply worried about going back into the classroom without more safety assurances. Without them, I would feel safer teaching in a remote fashion.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nathan Bugash, B-U-G-A-S-H. I'm a fourth-year student at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas with a major in piano performance and a representative from CSUN. I'm here as a student in strong support of maintaining the current employee mandate in place, keeping it in place and supporting student mandates. Being able to keep the employee mandate is the bare minimum that we can do to provide some sort of protection to our community. This would at least be a small step in progressing past this pandemic. COVID-19 is a part of our lives for the time being. We have no choice about that. We have to take care and we have to take action in order to make this virus survivable. Getting rid of the employee vaccination mandate would not only be putting students and members of campuses at risk, but it would be very disheartening and dangerous to our community. Already knowing that there will be fellow peers unvaccinated on campus has given me a feeling of unease. The whole pandemic has been determined by helping yourself or helping your community members. I got vaccinated to help the people around me, not just myself. This should not be a political conversation, but more of an ethical one. Please think about the people around you when making this decision about maintaining the employee mandate and supporting student vaccinations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Chancellor, Regents, University representatives, and members of the public. My name is Karen Yap, a business marketing major, daughter of two hospital workers, and the current undergraduate student body president for the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Yesterday, my younger sister, a freshman at UNLV, went to the UNLV Paradise campus COVID testing site that this past week has recorded record high numbers, going from distributing 250 tests to almost 400 daily. As you know, the safety of our students, faculty, and campus is at stake, and that risk has only heightened. The decision you have before you today, I understand, is filled with the pressure of precedent, making a decision to ensure consistency with the Legislative Commission's decision to repeal the student mandate. However, you have a power and a responsibility with your decision. As far as I know, the original installment of the vaccination mandate wasn't made by the Board of Regents, but the Nevada Board of Health. Now the student mandate's removal was under the discretion of another legislative body. The purpose of the Board of Regents is not to simply follow the orders and decisions of seemingly higher legislative bodies. California universities are looking to require boosters, and we're here discussing whether our own faculty, our own professors, should get vaccinated. In-person comments are only being said aloud today, but my sentiments are echoed by over 3,000 others through petitions, hundreds of submitted public comment that will not be read, and many more. A few months ago, when this body installed these vaccine mandates, I was there. I was also vocal at the Nevada Board of Health meeting, and this body made the decision in support of mandates despite the pressure of those against. You voted with the safety of our communities in mind. I know jobs are at risk today, but honestly, students and faculty have stood at risk every day, and we're still here, seemingly at square one, discussing what's more important, our jobs or our lives. There were decisions made outside of your power, but this body is to be held just as accountable for policies that affect NC students and any other. Use the power you have right now, today, to do what's right and maintain the mandate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm good to go. Okay. Hi, I'll be brief. My name is Remington Longley. That's L-O-N-G-L-E-Y. I am a senior student of economics at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and I'm also president of Econ Club next semester. I rise respectfully today in opposition to these vaccine mandates, and there are several reasons why. Foremost, from the sounds of it, it sounds like the vast majority of the employees for NC have already received a COVID-19 vaccine, and so to me, we've already reached a threshold for herd immunity. I don't understand why we're trying to cram down a mandate on those who might have religious objections or medical objections or just personal objections to a mandate, receiving a vaccine. Moreover, I find it just unconstitutional and medically tyrannical, to be quite frank. And I'm saying that as someone who does support getting a COVID vaccine and has received one myself. So I urge the board today to vote no, and I hope you'll follow suit with that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any other people in Las Vegas wishing to comment? I will go to Shannon Sumter, who is virtual with us.
Thank you. Shannon Sumter, S-H-A-N-N-O-N-S-U-M-P-T-E-R, chair of the UNLV Faculty Senate. My third term in 22 years, and never have I been so disappointed in a tiny minority of my colleagues. I thank Kent Irvin and Doug Unger of the Nevada Faculty Alliance for the petition they distributed to our institutions. UNLV's Faculty Senate shared it to our faculty. Six recipients replied with ludicrous vaccine denunciations like the ones that Kent Irvin factually debunked in his letter to you. Equally ludicrous were the defenses of the party of death last week when they voted against the public health department's student vaccination authorization. In 1963, we had Saving Sundays in which families across America lined up after church to receive oral polio vaccinations. I was 11, and we were all excited to get it. We knew the terrible toll. My aunt, countless children, and a heroic president in a wheelchair who led us out of the Depression and through World War II. Patriotism at its finest. There is no patriotism among mask and vaccine opponents. I was a Christian then, as many now claim to be. As a child, I learned the Lord helps those who help themselves. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not a single major religion opposes this vaccination. And thou shalt not kill is very direct. Removing employee and student mandates will cause deaths on our campuses. I am appalled by the party of death and by a small, selfish, whiny baby group of public commenters, most of whom neither attend or work for NC. Please, Regents, continue to support vaccine mandates for all the members of the NSHE community. You owe it to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I will move on to agenda item number 2, emergency code revision, employee COVID-19 vaccine requirement for possible action. This agenda item requests the board's consideration regarding whether it will maintain the employee COVID-19 vaccine mandate, repeal the code.
I know, I just, they applauded, everybody in the room. Over
Shannon, you're still on, you need to go on mute. Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on.
So sorry.
That's okay. Please mute. This agenda item requests the board's consideration regarding whether to maintain the employee COVID-19 mandate, repeal the code in its entirety, or amend the code to stay the termination dates until January 15, 2022, after the board is scheduled to meet on January 14th, which may provide additional opportunity for regents to obtain additional information that may be relevant to its decision and that otherwise may not have been available to regents in the short term with the holidays and for the special meeting. Having already described the background and purpose for the special meeting and this agenda item in particular, I understand that we have various NSHE COVID-19 experts present today to offer some input and recommendations. I also want to highlight the additional public materials relevant to this agenda item, which include a unanimous letter in support of maintaining the existing employee COVID-19 vaccine mandate provided to the board, signed by each of the 8 institutional presidents. Moreover, the board has been provided with a petition from the NSHE faculty in support of maintaining this existing policy, which as of the beginning of this meeting had over 3,200 signatures. Finally, Governor Sisolak yesterday issued a public statement encouraging the board to maintain the existing employee COVID-19 mandate. In particular, I understand that we have present today our resident expert in epidemiology, Dr. Brian Labus, Assistant Professor for the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics at the School of Public Health at UNLV, who's also served on the governor's COVID-19 medical advisory team. We also have Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development and Chief Innovation Officer Caleb Cage, who chairs NSHE's COVID-19 task force and also previously served as the governor's Nevada COVID-19 response director. I would like to invite each of them to present a brief summary of their recommendations, and then I will take regent requests for discussion, comment, in the order I have received them via communication to our staff. Dr. Labus.
Thank you very much. Since March 2002, I've been part of UNLV's incident management team, among all the other things that were mentioned, and we were tasked with operating a university during a pandemic. And I think that's what was lost in the discussion with the Legislative Commission last week. There were a lot of other things that came up, but the focus is, how do we operate in a pandemic? We're not trying to solve all the problems of the world or all the problems of Nevada. We're trying to run a university. They're about how we can produce a skilled and educated workforce when the virus makes it difficult for us to gather together. It's about how we can continue to produce top-tier world-changing research when the world seems to be crumbling around us. And it's about how we can produce the next generation of leaders when our political leaders around the world spend more time fighting among themselves than fighting the virus. And I think that's what's been lost. So simply put, the decisions we are facing are about how to operate a college and university during a pandemic and nothing more. We can't control the community, but we can control what happens on our campuses. So with that being said, there's a few things that are kind of the factual basis for the decision today. First, we have a safe, effective, fully FDA-approved vaccine. Any arguments to the contrary are supported by studies, are not supported by studies, facts, or any of our worldwide experience to date. Vaccination is recognized by every public health and legitimate medical organization in the world as the most important thing we can do to fight COVID. Now, we have to admit, the vaccine is not perfect. People can still get sick after vaccination, but that risk is much lower, and if you do get infected, the risk of hospitalization or death is much lower. The oldest people on campus and those at highest risk of death and hospitalization are our most experienced faculty and staff. And so those are the people we're trying to protect the most, and that's why it's important that we protect them with a vaccine mandate. My team on campus has investigated over 1,000 cases of COVID. This is something that hasn't been mentioned by anybody, but when there is a positive on campus, you have to conduct isolation and quarantine. The sick people are isolated. They stay home, which makes sense when they're sick, but we also have to have people stay home because of quarantine. That happens for potentially dozens or hundreds of people, depending on the event that they attended. So one individual case doesn't just affect you. It affects circles of people around you. And as a result, that can severely disrupt our ability to run a university. So one single case on campus can result in numerous faculty members having to stay off campus, and therefore we won't be able to offer our classes in person. You don't need to quarantine, though, if you've been vaccinated. That is a huge difference, an important thing that we have to remember. Our response changes depending on if you're vaccinated or not. Now, Omicron has changed the game again for us, unfortunately. And it won't be the last variant that we face. We're having this discussion now as Omicron cases are spiking, but there are more variants being created in people right now. Omicron spreads more easily than Delta, which spread more easily than Alpha, which spreads more easily than the original strain. So every time we've seen a mutation, it spreads more easily. Now, there is some hope that this is a less severe strain, resulting in fewer hospitalizations or deaths. However, it doesn't mean that this has become the common cold. Slightly better does not mean that this is good. We are not talking about something that is a minor annoyance. As you've heard from multiple people today, our hospitals are starting to fill with Omicron patients. And soon enough, the morgues are going to start to fill too, because that happens 3 to 4 weeks after we see our spikes in hospitalizations. So the number of hospitalizations are going up, the number of deaths will go up to match that. So even a less severe virus is still dangerous, and there's no way to know that the next mutation doesn't bring us right back to where we were in terms of hospitalization and death. Now, I've heard a few people mention natural immunity. That seems to come up every time we talk about vaccination. Yes, natural immunity can protect against COVID. So why don't we build that into our plans? Well, to get to natural immunity, you have to go through natural disease, which is kind of what we're trying to avoid in the first place. It's not as strong or long-lasting as vaccine-based immunity, and even the CDC recommends that anyone that gets natural disease gets vaccinated to prevent a reinfection because vaccination reduces that risk. But none of that is relevant, because even if we wanted to use natural immunity as part of our plan, there's no lab test that can tell us if a person has natural immunity. None of the vaccine antibody kits that we have out there are standardized, so one result on one kit doesn't mean the same thing as another kit, and we can never say this is the number you need to actually be protected. So even if we wanted to use it, as a matter of policy, there is no way to include natural immunity in our plans for what to do with vaccination. The other thing is we don't know how long natural immunity lasts. So finally, there are some new treatments on the horizon that could blunt the impact of COVID. People have been talking about all sorts of treatments over time, whether they work, whether they don't. None of that matters, because the whole point is preventing people from getting infected in the first place. We want to keep faculty and students in the classroom, and whether they recover or not doesn't keep them in the classroom. They're still sick. And so it doesn't matter if we have all these treatments. That's really not part of our discussion. It's about preventing disease in the first place. So basically, we need to do anything we can to keep our campus community healthy, and vaccination is the best thing we can do to help achieve that goal.
Thank you. Vice Chancellor Cage.
Well, good evening. I noted you said brief remarks in your introduction here, so I'll try to do my best. Vice Chair Pro Tem Carvalho and Regents, Caleb Cage for the record, Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development, and as noted, I do co-chair with Joe Reynolds, the Chancellor's COVID-19 Task Force as well. I honestly, to begin with, I just want to start by saying I don't think the situation could be framed better than how Dr. Labus just went through it. It was perfect, and I've had the honor of working with in the trenches and in some very difficult meetings with Dr. Labus and others, Amber Donnelly out in Elko and Cheryl Hug English at UNR and others all over the state over the last 18 or 20 months, where these excruciating decisions around the COVID-19 response were considered and recommendations were made. And I want to say thank you to Dr. Labus for those thoughtful remarks, because I think focusing on campus health and really narrowing the scope of the discussion specifically to that is precisely the discussion we need to have. And second, as a proud member of the NSHE team, I want to also express how proud I am to be a part of a system that has experts like Dr. Labus and others among us. This is what we have a system of higher education for, so that we can attract minds like his to our state, to advise us and to help us build capacity from a public health perspective and to train the next generation of students as well. And I'm really proud to be a part of a system that recognizes that and listens to that input from experts like him and his colleagues around the system. I believe you all know I spent 14 months in 2020 and 21 as the COVID-19 response director. In fact, you mentioned that. I learned a lot of lessons about COVID-19 in that time, and the first lesson is that you can never truly predict exactly what the situation's going to be 6 months from now, 3 months from now, or otherwise. You can see trends, and right now we're seeing a trend in cases, 4 to 6 weeks, as Dr. Labus said. We're going to see a trend in hospitalizations as well associated with the trends we're seeing now. And unfortunately, we're going to see the trend in deaths following the trend in hospitalizations 4 weeks from now as well. If we could predict where we were, I would be in the Middle East right now with my family, but we can't. And we canceled a trip because of the Omicron surge that was happening right as we were trying to get overseas to enjoy some time together as a family. But that lesson remains true. We simply can't predict exactly where we're going to be in the future. The second is, there are no silver bullets. There are just decisions that amount to trade-offs and considerations using the best tools that we have right now. And what I will say is, as of December of 2020, the tools that we have to fight COVID-19 in the United States and around the world changed tremendously with the introduction of the first two vaccines, and then I think in February, with the third vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson or Janssen vaccine. This meant that we no longer had to statewide, we no longer had to rely on PPE, which was increasingly difficult to get, social distancing, hand sanitizer everywhere we went, but also on shipments of ventilators from the federal government that were being allocated to the states based on need, based on hospital surges at that time. We were able to take a step back and focus on vaccination and being able to address this virus and its impact on our economy and communities around the state through the best tool, frankly, something of a miracle tool that was created in about 9 months' time from the first case of COVID-19 that happened in the United States. I think that as Dr. Labus perfectly conceptualized this or framed this concept, we have to be focused on making sure that we are providing public health and public safety in the communities that we serve, which are students, staff, faculty. We cannot control what goes on outside of those campuses, but we do have the ability to ensure that we have the safest and healthiest possible environment for those people who are parts of our community. The second reason, I think, has been addressed by some of the students extremely well. And again, another reason to be proud of the institutions that we serve or the students that we serve here who are able to articulate many of their reasons exceptionally well. But this idea of continuity of operations, being able to give our students, our staff and faculty predictability, the ability to know exactly what they can expect and what rules they need to follow in order to enroll, in order to finish, in order to attend courses in person. And finally, so that we can use the tools at our disposal, specifically vaccinations here, for faculty and focus our time and energy on student success in the long run. We have real challenges throughout the state, as all institutions do around the country, and we're working very, very hard with our university college and institutional partners throughout the state to address those. We're also working at the same time to make sure we're preparing a strategic plan that I think you're going to be very proud of as well. And those together are going to allow us to serve the student needs in the long run. And being able to focus on those and focus less on these specific policies will allow us to not only be able to work together better in partnership with our institutional partners, but also able to focus on student success more in the long run. So I will conclude there. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and we'll look forward to the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chancellor Cage. I do have a queue of regents who would like to speak. First, I'd like to go to Dr. Amy Payson at UNR.
Hi, this is Amy Payson, and I serve as UNR's Faculty Senate Chair, and I'm also the Chair of the Senate Chair Council. And I'm joining you all from Elko because I went to do some travel to see family and got snowed in around here. But I just wanted to underscore for the employee mandate policy just a couple of factors. One, please take into consideration that the employee mandate policy is really a workplace safety policy. So in terms of faculty on our campus, and you have the data now in front of you, that a majority of our full-time faculty have complied with the mandate. And many of our faculty, as evidenced by the petitions and also comments that I've gotten all semester from my own faculty, are in support of the mandate. And they see this mandate and having our campus vaccinated as a requirement for them to continue to work at our institutions. So removing the mandate and removing what we see as an appropriate and necessary safety requirement would also be risking having faculty, those of us with PhDs, those of us with specialized expertise in our fields, begin to seek other opportunities. So if we want to maintain the quality of our education in our institutions at our campuses, we do need to have policies in place that our employees want and support. Moreover, repealing or trying to change the deadlines at this venture would just cause a lot of disruption on our campuses. We've already made plans for those faculty that we think maybe leaving us to get us into the spring semester. So reversing course and maybe reversing again is just going to add a lot of confusion, labor, and extra layers that's going to prevent us from starting the spring semester strongly. And I just want to affirm with the other members that you have heard from already that really our strategy is about prevention. We want to do what we can to prevent severe disease of all of our campus community. And that's what we see the vaccines do. I've been in meetings since June 2020 about COVID issues on our campuses and also as part of the NSHE COVID Task Force. So I've been hearing the numbers every week of our cases, and we've been making decisions about whether or not us operating our institutions will have a negative impact on our own communities. Do we need to go remote to protect our communities to make sure that our hospitalizations go up? Those are considerations that we've had. And we've been looking at other strategies of prevention. Can we do surveillance testing of our campuses? And we've seen time and time again that we just don't have the resources to do that. So as we recommend that the vaccine is the tool that we have, it is because we have explored many other options. So I know I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of faculty who see this mandate as necessary and sees this as the way that they will stay in their current positions and not look for other positions. So I hope that you can take into consideration what those of us that are actually working at our institutions want and require to continue working at our institutions. Thank you.
Thank you. So the queue I have right now is Regent Moran, and Regent Geddes, Regent McMichael, and Regent Carter. So I'll go to Regent Moran first. Are you there, Regent Moran? We don't hear you. I'm going to go to Regent Geddes next.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho. And I just want to say, you know, we have debated this in great detail in September when we approved the temporary policy. We debated it in very much detail in December as we were looking to make it permanent. And I know we were looking at the State Board of Health and hoping they would pass one for the students, which they did, which the Legislative Commission struck down. But as Dr. Payson pointed out, as a system, we've been looking at this since June of 20. We've made many recommendations to what we could do on campuses for the protection of faculty, staff, and students. We implemented as many of them as we could. And if you can all remember back to June of 20, we were excited that we would be able to get a vaccine as quickly as we could. And that vaccine came out a lot faster than any of us thought it would. And it, in essence, it was just a miracle as quickly as they got that vaccine out. And people started taking the vaccine. And as you heard from Dr. Labus, and if you heard from the State Board of Health, who voted unanimously to mandate the vaccine, you heard from the NICHE COVID Task Force unanimously that the vaccine's important. You heard from the governor's medical team that the vaccine's important. Everybody says the vaccine is the best way to stem this. And I regret that the Legislative Commission did not see that and did not approve the State Board of Health. And I'm hoping they can find a way to fix that on behalf of students. But we're the Board of Regents. We don't have authority over the State Board of Health. We don't have authority over the Legislative Commission. What we have authority over is our faculty and staff. And I think it is our responsibility to make sure that as many people on campus are vaccinated for the safety of the faculty, staff, the students, the people who come onto campus. And as our students, faculty, and staff go back into the community, this is under our control. This is something we can do today, and we should not backslide. And as if you saw in the letter from the presidents, all eight of them support staying the course, staying where we are, moving forward. This is our decision. This is under our control. No one can override us on this decision. And with that, I would move approval of item 2.1 to maintain the existing code.
Second.
So I have a motion from Regent Geddes, a second from Regent Dubrava.
That is correct.
Thank you. Regent McMichael, did you have anything to say?
My comment is that we need to start thinking faster ahead of the virus, because globally, we're going to continue to get variants, and they're just going to continue to put us behind. We need to try and get this under control as quickly as possible. And the only way I can see that we can do that is to continue our COVID-19 mandate. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent McMichael. Regent Carter, did you have a comment or question?
Yes. First of all, I've taught for several months in a classroom before the vaccine existed. That said, I couldn't wait until it was out, and I did get the vaccine in the very first, you know, days that it was available to teachers, and my kids are vaccinated as well, so I am a vaccine supporter. However, for me, the issue is twofold based on what the legislature did. First, I worry about our transparency and want to make sure that we're always in parity with the people's body, and I think this puts us out of sync with the legislative body, which is always a criticism from them of us. Second, I have an ethical problem of firing our employees when the students don't have to do the same thing on campus. So I can't support Regent Getty's motion. On the second part, I don't think the 15th would be fast enough as well. We have to be agile and adjust to things that are changing. There's pills that are coming out for medications. You could ask Mr. Labus about the science of having the booster, which is not incorporated in our current policy. So I don't think our current policy is the best policy to go with, and I would not vote in favor of keeping it today.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Regent Carter. I'm not sure who that was. Oh, Regent Moran, please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of quick thoughts. I wanted to first apologies for the technical difficulty on my end. Second, I wanted to thank everyone from Carrie Winter to the entire group in preparing for this particular agenda item on very, very short notice, as well as the Chancellor and the Chancellor's Cabinet, and also our leadership and colleagues. And everyone else that has participated in this particular item being agendized for this evening. Second, I wanted to thank all of the experts that have taken time away from their family during the holidays to join us and to offer their expert opinions and recommendations to us as kind of our go-to folk for these types of issues, you know, issues that are outside of our independent wheelhouse, at least me and my colleagues. Specific wheelhouse. The other thing, Madam Chair, if I can and if I may, Madam Vice Chair, I would like to hear from the Chancellor as to her recommendation as well and her thoughts on this particular item. It seems like we've heard from everyone except for the Chancellor, and I think that that would be important. And before the Chancellor speaks, Madam Vice Chair, I would also echo the remarks made by board member Geddes. And I think that I appreciated the comments that he made, most of which he took just literally out of my head. So I won't belabor those points at this point in time, but I can support the motion and second, but would also like to hear from the Chancellor as well.
Thank you, Regent Moran. I'll go to the Chancellor, and then after I have Regent Brooks and Regent Boylan.
Thank you for the record, Melody Rose, Chancellor of the Nevada System of Higher Education, Vice Chair Pro Tem Carvalho, members of the Board of Regents and colleagues. I'll keep this brief. My recommendation to the board on this matter has not changed. I recommended requiring employee vaccines earlier, and I did so based on the COVID-19 task force unanimous recommendation to me. Their expertise and their evaluation of the science and medicine around the pandemic has also not changed. As you have heard this evening from the experts, our best tool against this deadly virus remains the vaccine, and therefore I cannot recommend repeal or alteration to the employee vaccine policy to you. And so with that, respectfully, I recommend passage of Regent Getty's motion.
Madam Vice Chair, I don't have anything further. Madam Chancellor, thank you very much for your time, and happy holidays to all those interested and on this phone call.
Thank you, Regent Moran. Before we go to Regent Brooks, I'd like to have Dr. Labus come back up to the podium to discuss boosters really quickly.
Hi, Brian Labus for the record. Sorry, I'm off my game a little bit. I had an eye surgery yesterday. I'm not quite back to normal yet, but I want to talk about the boosters because they are an important part of our response right now to COVID. They're not something that have been built into requirements yet around the country. We are still struggling to get people the first two doses. So if we look nationwide, putting in a mandate for boosters or recommendation or anything beyond a recommendation is quite challenging right now because we still have 60-something percent maybe of our population actually with both doses. So we're still focusing on that 40% to get them up to speed, but that's not to say boosters will not be part of the next discussions. That may be the next thing. The problem is the virus is constantly changing. And when the enemy we're fighting changes, our responses have to change. A year from now, we won't be able to do the things that we did the first week of dealing with COVID and know that they're going to work. We have to have those responses evolve. So there may be a point where we are discussing a mandatory booster or some other arrangement based on what vaccines come out and what the best science tells us is what we need to do to vaccinate and protect our population. But as for right now, the recommendation is only for completing the series. Once we have that in place, everybody's protected, then we can look at what has to be done next. And it's not really the goal to keep changing things. Nobody wants extra shots, but as the virus evolves, we have to do that. When we earlier last year, it was great in June, when everything seemed to be heading in the right direction. Everybody said, oh, this is great, we can stop wearing masks, and then Delta showed up and everything changed. And we weren't even over with Delta and Omicron showed up. And there will be another variant and we will have to have new responses. But right now, we're still talking about getting those first two doses because that's the important base to start with. And we can't improve our response by going backwards and reducing the number of people. If we want to keep herd immunity, we have to keep it mandated for everybody coming to campus. Every time we hire somebody new, if they're not vaccinated, every new student enrolled who's not vaccinated dilutes that herd immunity and increases the overall risk to us not being able to operate our campuses normally.
Thank you, Dr. Labus. Really quick, can you discuss the new medications that have been coming out that address a COVID patient who may be ill?
So over the past few months, we've had a couple medications in place. There is a monoclonal antibody treatment that we basically use to keep people out of the hospital. So we give that to those who are at highest risk. It's not something that's available to everybody. It's basically a shot of antibodies, the same kind of thing that your body would produce in response to being exposed that helps you fight it off better. So for the highest risk people, that's our way of keeping them out of the hospital. We've had some other things approved, though. We start to have not over-the-counter medications. There'll still be prescription medications, but oral medications that people can take to help deal with COVID once they get it. They're not taken to prevent it. You don't take it after you're exposed. Once you've developed the disease, you can then take those pills, which will hopefully shorten the duration, decrease hospitalization, and decrease the death rate. But still, it requires you to get sick in the first place. So even though we have those treatments, there's still going to be a disruption at campus while those people are getting treatments because they're not allowed to, they're probably not going to feel well enough to come to work anyway, but they're not allowed to when they're sick. So it does reduce the death rate, reduce hospitalizations, but we're focusing after people are infected and not preventing it, which is what the vaccine does.
Thank you for that. Regent Brooks, thank you for your patience.
There we go. It's quite all right, Vice Pro Tem. I do have a series of questions and concerns, and it's difficult when we move the conversation to a specific vaccine as a singular treatment or process or pathway for prevention, or even if somebody test positive, because we recognize that if we start having those type of conversations, then we could probably get into efficacy issues regarding the vaccine itself. And in recognizing that having the vaccine doesn't necessarily mean you don't get COVID, I really want to try to stay away from the efficacy of the vaccine and just kind of talk about the consistency of policy, which is essentially what we're here for in terms of the things that we do as regents. There's a lack of continuity in the way things have come to light based on, frankly, the legislative council's commission's vote. And so there's an imbalance of what we have for policy for students versus the faculty members. And there could be some concerns with what that looks like on campuses based on this nuance. Probably the most important factor, though, in this would be the termination part of the policy for faculty members who are not vaccinated. And I take issue with even one faculty member or one classified worker being terminated for not having the vaccine when clearly the student vaccine mandate has been dropped. And so it really becomes about equitable policy for all rather than for some. There are new, the problem with what we're talking about is it's constantly changing. And so what we're talking about today may be irrelevant in another month, because the things that we were talking about a few years ago, or a few, well, maybe even a few years ago when this whole thing started, certainly look different than the way they do now. And so the landscape constantly changes. And so I think there are things that we have to take a look at in the process of this ever-changing landscape, and with the possibility of oral medications that have been approved and that are coming out, there are suggested remedies and treatments that we'll be able to see specifically for COVID. In terms of where we sit with policy, if we do not pass the initiative and if we repeal the faculty mandate, it does not negate the governor's statewide policy that was put in place a while ago regarding a percentage amount of individuals on a campus who should be vaccinated. And so I think there's a couple of different ways to look at this in terms of what the possibility is to keep students and faculty members safe. I'm not so sure that having a mandate for faculty is the best way that we can proceed in lieu of not doing it means that they are terminated. So those are basically some of the points that I wanted to make, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Regent Brooks. Regent Boylan.
And off by itself, doesn't it? Sorry about that. Thank you, Regent Carvalho. I've got to thank Dr. Leibas and Vice Chancellor Cage for coming here and talking to us and telling us all the stuff we need to know. And they'll keep us safe from COVID, hopefully. They're here to keep us safe. I'm going to thank the two lawyers who are here to keep us safe from ourselves. You guys were for COVID, they're for us, you know. And, of course, the UNLV, you know, the police department. I really thank you for being here. I was hoping to see the dog, but I didn't see him. And there was the canine out there, so that's okay. I just have one point, really, because if you support taking the vaccination, the vax, then why worry about getting COVID from anyone else? Because you feel safe. You took the COVID and the vaccination. Now don't worry about getting it from anybody else. You're safe. But if you're worried about getting it from someone else, then you've lied to yourself. It took the vaccination. For anyone who's bringing up these points, then you took the vaccination for naught. Because I don't understand what this issue is with. You've got the vaccination, now don't worry about anybody else. We're like wearing a mask. It's really like wearing a screen door on a submarine. These masks don't work for this, and the experts will tell you that too. I'm no expert in this, but I do know a wee bit about weapons of mass destruction and things that have been used in germ warfare. So if you've got it, you've got it. Now you won't get sick from anybody else. Don't force them. So I'm not in favor of this, because I don't think we should mandate something that there's so many cures coming out now that it would be just foolish to have good people with thousands of hours of knowledge and education leave because they don't want to take the vaccination. So I'm not in favor of this, and that's my 2 cents, you know, whatever. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Regent Boylan.
Thank you.
Regent Perkins?
And I will be brief. This we did debate it a while, and I agree with Regent Geddes that we did debate this a while the last time we voted on it. And I feel the same way as I did last time. This is permanent. And with I think several people have mentioned that it's a fluid situation. So every time we take, we need to take those new developments into consideration more often than just, you know, we need to take those considerations and examine them a little bit more often. To make it permanent, that means it's permanent, people. That means we're, 10 years from now, this will still be on our books. And even though new things have come out, we still haven't changed our policy. I was thinking that we should possibly use all the mitigation factors that are available to us. Daily testing. Testings are available right now at Walgreens. You can go in and get a little test kit, and you can do it yourself within 10 minutes. And masks, they definitely should, and distancing. All those things should be used as a package rather than just having one hammer and one nail. So I don't think I can support this because it is permanent. I would rather us reexamine it every 6 months or every 120 days when more information comes out. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Perkins. I'll go next to Regent McAdoo.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. I have a lot of notes written to myself, and I'm going to try to condense them into some thoughts. First of all, I really want to thank the 400 plus members of the public for caring enough to submit their public comment. I'm really sorry that they could not be read tonight. And I commit to you as the submitters that I will read each one of those, and therefore that will have some impact on the way I am going to choose to vote tonight. I also want to thank the more than 100 public constituents who have emailed, called, and personally spoken with me of their thoughts about this policy. So in listening to Dr. Labus and Vice Chancellor Cage mentioning that things are constantly changing with COVID and the vaccine and the boosters and the pills and all those things, I think we see that. And I think that really and truly is why we as the regents are talking about this at every single meeting, because it's constantly changing. And so I really believe the best about all 13 of our regions, that we want to do the best thing we can, and there are varying opinions about all of that. So with all due respect to my colleagues, also known as the presidents of our 8 institutions, and the faculty and students and staff of our institution, I'm going to be unwilling to support Regent Getty's motion tonight on the policy mandate, because I really believe that we need to look at it again at the January 14th meeting or whatever meeting we're going to have, because I too agree with Regent Brooks about the termination of the employees. We've heard that we met the herd immunity. I believe that NSHE has far surpassed the percentage rate required for all other state agencies and employees in those agencies. I believe that we could look at the vaccines and testing. I think we need to look at mask requirements. I think we need to look at all the different options that we have. So I will not be supporting that motion tonight, but that is not to say that I don't support vaccinations for anyone. I do support vaccination. So I would like for us to have opportunity at yet another meeting. And I've been in on every meeting that these have been discussed, and I know it can be tiring. But I feel like we owe it to NSHE, to the public, to our constituents, those who have elected us, to look at the ever-changing field and see what else we may need to make a decision on. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent McAdoo. I'm going to go to Dr. Labus again, and then to Regent Brooks and to Regent Geddes. And actually, before I go to Dr. Labus real quick, I would like to turn it over to Deputy General Counsel Yvonne Navarez-Goodson to reply to a statement that was made earlier, a clarification on our policy real quick.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, Deputy General Counsel. I just wanted to clarify for the benefit of the regents that the existing policy that is in place right now is a permanent code amendment to the NC code, but it does maintain a provision that says that the entire chapter of this code provision will be reconsidered at a public meeting of the Board of Regents prior to the beginning of the fall 2022 semester. So while it is a permanent code amendment, one of the provisions of that code does require it to come back before the board before the fall 2022 semester.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Labus.
Thank you, Brian Labus, for the record. In response to Regent Boylan about the risk to other people if I'm vaccinated, the vaccine is not perfect. It is a strategy we use to reduce but not eliminate risk. And so even if you are fully vaccinated, your health is still kind of in the hands of everybody around you. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have infectious disease. It spreads from person to person, and so that interaction between people is what leads to disease. I would look at it like this. I drive a newer car that's safe. I drive defensively. I have airbags. I have seatbelts. I don't drink and drive myself. I do everything I can to protect myself on the road. That doesn't mean that I'm in favor of letting other people drive drunk. Even though I've done everything to protect myself, there's still part of that risk that comes from outside of me that I can't control. And it's the same thing with the vaccine. Even if I've done everything that's been recommended by everyone, your health is still in the hands of other people, unfortunately, and that's why we're having this discussion. It goes beyond just individuals. If it didn't spread from person to person, I wouldn't have a job. That's what infectious diseases are. So that's why we are concerned about us as a population and not just what happens with individuals when we're talking about vaccines.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Labus. Regent Brooks.
Thank you, I appreciate that. You know what, there were just a couple thoughts that I had and I kind of wanted to share this, is that I recognize that we've got great minds in our universities. I mean, we probably have some of the best minds that produce some of the most outstanding students throughout the nation. I really do believe that we've got some of the best institutions here in the state of Nevada. And while I appreciate the amount of experience and expertise that Dr. Labus and Caleb Cage bring to the table in terms of talking about the COVID-19 and some of the nuances of it, it's unfortunate, I think, for the board and for the public that we don't have another great mind that may have a different opinion about this regarding some of the processes that can take place to keep folks safe in our campuses and some of the other ideologies that some doctors may have regarding COVID and ways to thwart some of the symptoms and other issues. And so there was one thing that I found interesting that the doctor had mentioned, and that was that the purpose of the mandate was to protect faculty. And I couldn't help but think about that for a moment, because I don't know that we necessarily need a policy like that to protect the faculty who are creating some of the great minds that come out of these universities. It seems to me like those faculty folks would be able to make that decision on their own. And I really do believe that I'm going to maintain the idea that this is a independent, individual decision that absolutely should be made by the individual, in this case, the faculty member, the classified worker, maybe their doctor, or maybe a family member, but those decisions, I believe, should be with them, and the privacy of those decisions should be with them. And I don't feel comfortable as part of a governing board to create a policy and tell someone what they have to do. And so it's very obvious based on comments that I've made in the past during the conversations that we've had that I can't support this this agenda item. There's one other thing I wanted to add, and that is a consideration that just because right now there are three choices on the agenda item doesn't mean that we couldn't come up with a motion to generate something different than what is already being presented. So hypothetically, if there was a process of having this conversation and the vote was to repeal policy as it exists right now because it's outdated at this point, we could come back and take a look at this. And we could come back in 90 days, in 120 days, and come back with data in terms of what has it looked like on the campuses without any type of policy governing what somebody has to do, what safety mechanisms are in play, and what's the real numbers and data that we're looking at in terms of folks who are catching COVID, and not being able to maintain their employment because of it. So I'm just going to offer that there are other avenues to what we're being presented with right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Regent Brooks. Regent Geddes, did you have something?
Yes, Regent Carvalho, and I'll be brief. First, I just want to emphasize the point that Dr. Leavis put out there is there are treatments, there are medicines coming on the market, but that is treating it after you've been around a whole bunch of other people, staff, students, and you could have infected everybody before you had your symptom, and then you went and got yourself treated. So the treatments are great, and they're fantastic, and I love that they're coming out, but that does not stop prevention, as Dr. Leavis pointed out. It's only dealing with the person who's got it, coming after it. The other one I wanted to point out was, and Yvonne did it, she jumped in, was it is a permanent policy, but we've mandated that we review it before the fall of 22, which in Regent Brooks' timeline, we have to have a policy review within 180 days from today. So it may not be the 90 or 120 you're looking at, but within 180 days, we have to say, is this policy working or not, so that we can implement it for the fall. So I would say if you supported this today, we would still have that evaluation you're looking for within the 120, 180 day time frame. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have anybody else in the queue, so I'd like to take this opportunity to voice my own position on this matter, which is to maintain the existing permanent code revisions. While I do not relish the idea of employees being terminated under these circumstances, I have nevertheless prioritized the recommendations and advice of our NCHE COVID-19 task force that mandatory vaccinations are the most effective manner in which to ensure the health, safety, and welfare of our campus communities. The board has painstakingly developed, considered, and adopted this policy, understanding the issues and consequences, and reached a majority position that this was in the best interest of the populations we serve. We have heard unanimous support from our 8 presidents to maintain the current code provisions. We as a board must work with and support our institution leaders as they navigate this pandemic. To signal a dissenting direction from our system leadership and to the experts that we lead will undermine our system's response to the current situation. With that said, I'm going to call for a roll call vote. And as a reminder, we need to have 7 votes for this to pass. If it doesn't, then the current code provision remains in place. Is that correct?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yvonne Navarez-Goodson for the record. Yes, for any agenda item today to pass, it would require 7 votes. But if we don't get 7 votes, it means no action is taken. So it would ultimately result in the existing code provision remaining in place as is.
Thank you. I'll go to Carrie for the roll call vote.
Regent Boylan.
Nay.
Regent Brooks?
No.
Regent Carter?
No.
Vice Chair Carvalho?
Yes.
Chair Del Carlo. Chair Del Carlo. Chair Del Carlo, can you hear me? Regent Dubrava?
Yes.
Regent Geddes?
Aye.
Regent McAdoo?
No.
Regent McMichael?
Yes.
Regent Moran?
Yes.
Yes.
Regent Perkins?
No.
Regent Tarkanian is absent. Regent Arascata?
No.
The motion fails.
Oh, yeah. Second.
Okay. On to item number 3. Yes.
Again, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, Deputy General Counsel for the record. I just wanted to acknowledge, however, that another motion could be made on this agenda item as articulated in the agenda if there's a maker of another motion that thinks they might have the 7 votes for their motion before we move forward. Does that make sense? So motion failed doesn't mean that we can't offer another motion and see if there's a vote to achieve 7
votes. And that motion was to keep everything as is, right? That was the first part of the agenda item. What was the total amount of nays and yeas?
Carried.
I'm so sorry. I just wanted to put on the record that Chair Del Carlo is a yes. She is having trouble unmuting, but she texted me.
Okay. Thank you, Carrie. So in response to Regent Brooks, can you let us know what the vote count was on that last?
6-6.
6-6. Well, hearing silence, I don't think we're going to.
Actually, I do have, and it might just be questions, right, in terms of the formality of this. There were 3 pieces to this agenda item. And so based on the vote that occurred, it's almost like there were 3 choices, frankly, to this agenda item. So if we said that the first choice was to keep the policy as is, we're at a 6-6. Would we not then take a look at the other possibilities in this agenda item and vote on them to see if there's some other outcome that would take place based on how this is being read?
Yes, thank you. If I may respond, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, Deputy General Counsel for the record. Yes, that was what I was attempting to articulate. So the agenda item as presented is presented as options. The board could choose to maintain the policy as it currently exists. It could choose to repeal the policy in its entirety, or it could choose to amend the policy to stay the effective date of the terminations until January 15th. So while we do have a 6-6 vote on the first motion, it is not necessarily preclusive of the fact that you could get a vote on a different option within the agenda item.
Okay, and in terms, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step over your words. In terms of the agenda item, the way it sits right now, could I not just simply make a motion for a fourth? In other words, we as a body, if we choose to look at this and develop some other type of possible, you know, motion, there is, and I guess just for clarification, am I correct?
Actually, again, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, Deputy General Counsel for the record. Actually, I would object to that simply because that would be a violation of the open meeting law because it falls outside the scope of the options set forth in this agenda item. But what I think the third option provided to you was that potential, right, that if you were to amend this policy to stay the effective date of the terminations until January 15th, it gives you the option as a board to come back at your January 14th meeting and propose new agenda items for that particular meeting. That would be the only option that would allow you to do that in this instance.
Okay, so then taking some baby steps in this, I think then what I'll do is I don't know based on the, and I'm just speaking out loud, based on the members that we have current tonight, the way the vote just went, that is 6-6. I don't know that we'll get a seventh, right? So if another option then is to maintain the existing policy, provide some type of saving grace to faculty members so that they are not terminated, and revisit this on the 15th. As number option two, right? I guess that would be a possibility. So at least we buy a little bit more time. I just don't know that. And gosh, I want to be able to open this up to other regions to kind of chime in. I don't know that if we have another 2 weeks, what that really changes in terms of policy that we're trying to initiate, other than providing relief for faculty to keep their jobs for two more weeks. The third option was repeal the code in its entirety, and I'm wondering if there are some things that can be added to that. So if we say that we're going to repeal the code, for hypothetical, if we say that we're going to repeal the code, but that we are going to revisit this in 60, 90 days, could that not be another motion outside of the one that we just had?
Again, thank you, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, Deputy General Counsel, for the record. The option tonight would be, if it were the will of the board, to repeal the code in its entirety. That would be the only thing that the board could do today at this meeting. If the intention was to bring it back 60, 90 days to consider whether to reimpose the mandate, I would just offer that there is some implication, right, about revoking it and then reimposing it. So that would be my caution in an event like that, to repeal it and then 2 weeks later, to several months later, reimpose it would, you know, frankly create some potential liability and also some administrative challenge in the institutions with our HR folks.
Sure. And so if on number two, then, if we decided to maintain the existing code, but we bring it back, based on the way this is written, could we not bring it back further than January 15th? Could we bring it back in March? Or does it have to be January 15th because that's the way it's written?
Again, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, for the record. If I heard your question right, you said maintain the current provisions and bring it back at a later date, and certainly you could do that. So one of the, which is really where we're at right now, right, which is that with a tie vote, it's no action, which means the existing policy remains at this point. That doesn't mean that it foregoes the option for you to bring back a future agenda item, but the reality is, under the current existing code provisions, the terminations will take effect tomorrow, December 31st, 2021.
Okay, and that's really the point that I was trying to get at, right? Because if we're going to maintain the existing code, but we're able to push it out, then the idea would be to push it out until we regroup, but keep those faculty members in place with their employment.
Again, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, for the record, and the only option to do that under this agenda item would be the two-week moratorium on the terminations to bring it back at your January meeting.
I'm going to go to Regent McAdoo.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So I just want to ask a question about that item number two as well. So if we made that motion for number two now, which would maintain the code, nothing would really change other than the employees would not be terminated tomorrow. They would have through January 15th. And then when we come to new business, we could request this item back on the agenda, maybe not with a specific motion, because a lot of times we just make a motion based on what we're discussing. I don't recollect really ever having only three things we could choose from. So would we be able to do that? We could bring this motion, if it passed, and nothing would change other than the employees would not be terminated until we have our special board meeting on January 14th. They might be terminated on January 15th, or we may move that out to March or April or whatever it was Regent Brooks was talking about for the date. Could that work?
Again, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson for the record. Yes, that's potential, right? So if you were to revisit the issue in January, that's your opportunity to have a different agenda item at your January meeting. I'll just remind the regents that the reason for this option at all was because there was a concern in the quickness with which we put together this special meeting that we wouldn't have an opportunity to hear from stakeholders or experts about what it would mean to repeal potentially this provision. So I guess the question back to the board would be, what would be different between today's vote and January's vote in terms of decision-making about whether or not the policy will ultimately be repealed and employees will ultimately be terminated? So I guess the question back would be, you know, will anything change between today's vote and January 15th in terms of information you might want or feedback you might want to be able to make that decision?
Well, I feel like it could change because we are in, Chair Carvalho, may I speak, please?
Yes, please go ahead.
I feel like it could change. I mean, obviously this has come between a holiday period where people have had other plans, et cetera. I feel like it would even give us as a board more time to maybe have a presentable motion that wasn't given to us as only one of three that we could use.
Thank you.
Madam, I need to make the save your jobs motion on number two and make the motion to vote on the number two choice.
I'll second that if the motion is to continue this till January 15th. Is that the motion?
So if I hear it correctly, I have a motion from Regent Carter to maintain the existing code provisions except for an amendment to the effective date of an employee termination based upon failure to comply with the vaccination requirements from December 31st, 2021 to January 15th, 2022. And a second,
second
by
that.
Regent Brooks. Is that correct, Regent Carter?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay, so is there any discussion regarding that?
Madam Chair, Carvalho, this is Regent Moran.
Yes, please go ahead.
I'm going to be a no on this vote just because of the landfill present with respect to that particular alternative. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Moran. I would like to open up the floor to our presidents to hear from them on this option.
So the option being considered is the delay to the 15th?
That's correct.
I think the challenge is a numberfold, and I almost wish I had my HR person here to tell us how difficult that would be. Those notifications have been sent out. The action starts tomorrow, and then trying to pull it back has just kind of logistical nightmares is what I've heard. So there is a challenge to undoing what has been voted to be done. And one of the other pieces is, and I don't think we've had much of discussion, is about the number of people that this would actually affect, and as well, even to the previous conversation about how many on our campuses actually have been vaccinated. We need to think about that has been a very positive effect, and actually even extending it to the piece about the students. And while there's some discouragement that we have pulled that back, I know for some of our campuses, there's a reasonably good number of students who've actually been vaccinated as well. So to Brian Labus's point, we do have some protection as we try to come back and have normal operations. But back to the original point, that will create some very serious difficulties. Some people who have known that they got those notifications have already left, and so actually trying to do that may have little to no effect for many of them because they've already actually moved on because the action's going to take place tomorrow.
Thank you for that input. Are there any other presidents who would like to make comments?
Would also align, Federico said I was off the record. Evidence Chair Pro Tem, just wanted to clarify that the current procedure allows faculty that have received the termination notice a window to basically ask for reinstatement. So what you're looking at is extending that. There is an extension in the current process that allows that to happen.
Thank you, President Zaragoza. President Pollard.
I would just amplify the comments made by my colleagues that we have worked diligently over the last several months, two I believe it is, to implement the policy that this Board of Regents enacted, I think thoughtfully and deliberately. Our intent has been to ensure that our campuses are indeed the safest place for both students and employees. We have had a highly a deliberative process where employees had to demonstrate their vaccination. They had an appeal process, both for religious and medical exemption processes. And the date of termination is tomorrow. So operationally, for us to go back and to revisit this for a January 15th change becomes highly problematic. And I think it sends a mixed message about the intent of both this policy and also our commitments around public health. So I would, as we said, all eight of us in the letter that we sent to you, support vigorously the option of keeping the policy as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, President Pollard.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho. I agree with everything my colleagues have said. I don't have anything new or other than what they've said to add. Thank you.
Thank you, President Acharya. Are there any other presidents who would like to make comment regarding this?
Hi, Chair Carvalho. This is Joyce Hollins.
Please go ahead.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
I also wanted to echo my colleagues that tomorrow is the deadline. We followed all the procedures. And as Dr. Zaragoza has said, there also is an opportunity for people who have left to appeal back. We have awarded exceptions. So we feel that we are at the end of the process we followed. It has been consistent. And in that, it has been fair. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go to Regent Geddes next. And I think I heard Regent Carter, if you'd like to say something after Regent Geddes.
Go ahead, John. It was actually President Delpy.
Trying to get myself on camera, thank you. This is Kyle Delpy, Western Nevada College. I want to echo the other presidents as well, in particular the operational chaos that would come for just a two-week delay. We have been talking about this since October 15th. We are at the 11th hour, and I appreciate the board discussing it. However, we have had people who have gotten the vaccine who didn't necessarily want to, but realized that they should in order to maintain employment and do what we're trying to do, and have approached me and said, I hope it doesn't get reversed. And on the flip side, we've had others who have not and have already left. And so there's a mixed bag there. So as we all stated in the letter, maintenance of the existing policy is the preference. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Delpy. Is there somebody else who would like?
Vice Chair Carvalho, this is Elena Bobnova, officer in charge at TMCC for the record. And I would echo everything that the presidents of other institutions have stated. We did put a lot of effort into the statement that we crafted that does represent the overwhelming majority of our faculty and staff's opinion, who have been diligently working to comply with the mandate for mandatory staff vaccinations. And I want to emphasize the point that a reversal of this decision would definitely send a mixed message that will potentially cause a lot of our faculty to take their talents elsewhere, because they do view mandatory staff vaccination as a sign of commitment of this Board of Regents and the system to keeping our campuses safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Regent Geddes, did you have something to say?
I did, Regent Carvalho, and it's kind of redundant what the president said there. 2 weeks doesn't buy us anything but confusion and a lot more work on campuses. We had a firm deadline. 2 weeks does not help or fix anything. If you look at the numbers, we're down to 379 out of 21,000 employees that are in that category. And as President Zaragoza said, there is a policy there that if you don't meet that deadline, you have the opportunity over the next 30 days to comply. So I think extending it 2 weeks buys us nothing but confusion and a lot of work for the campuses. And I would be strongly opposed to the motion that is on the floor. And I would encourage all my fellow regents to oppose the motion that is currently on the floor. It really doesn't solve anything. It may make us feel better, but it's not going to change where the campuses are other than trying to scramble over the winter break. And I think that would be a mistake.
Thank you, Regent Geddes. Regent Carter, did you have something else to add?
Just real quick, I was going to say the same thing Dr. Zeep said, but I was also going to answer Yvonne's question. Now, we are 6-6, and we're missing Regent Tarkanian, who previously, if we look at the votes, was anti the mandate. So that would be the biggest change to directly answer Council's question.
Thank you for that comment, Regent Carter. I will move to a roll call vote then. Carrie?
Chair Carvalho?
Yeah. I'm sorry, was that Regent McAdoo?
Yes, I texted Carrie that I'd like to make a comment.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Please go ahead.
Oh, it's okay, believe me, I understand the difficulty of all the things you're trying to manage. So I just want to say that in light of what the presidents have verbally shared tonight, I will be voting no on this motion. Thank you. And I made that decision on my own. It doesn't have anything to do with what anybody else has said. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent McAdoo. Okay, I want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to say if they have anything to say. I don't want to leave anyone out, so speak now. Okay,
Vice
I will.
Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who was that?
Regent Arriscada.
Oh, please go ahead, Regent Arriscada.
Please repeat the motion that's on the table so we can all grasp the severity of it.
Yes, I will do that. So the motion on the floor is to maintain the existing code provisions except for an amendment to the effective date of any employee termination based upon failure to comply with the vaccination requirements from December 31st, 2021 to January 15th, 2022. Thank you. I have a comment from Shannon Sumter.
So I just want to say I'm stunned. Can hardly call you regents when first some of you don't even know that there was already a reconsider date built into the original code mandate that you passed. first in September and then in December. Second, the percentage that you are so anxious to defend is 2.5% of the employees of ENCHI, as Regent Getty noted. And we should protect them at the risk of 97.5% of our faculty and staff. This is like a bogus election a year ago. Please, and you referenced medical and religious exemptions as being affected. Do you know when an exemption is? They already exist. We are already accommodating them at all of the institutions. They're not something out there that we just discard. We take them seriously. I'm just stunned by this. I'm stunned. Thank you.
Thank you. Regent Brooks?
Look, here's what I'm trying to figure out. If Lois, if Regent Tarkanian was here, this would have, based on the past voting, I believe that this would have essentially not been a 6-6. It would have been 7-6. And so if we leave it at 6-6 and it goes nowhere, it remains the same, we will have the option to call this back again. And we could probably put it on as a special agenda item if we wanted to in January. And so, I mean, I guess part of the concern here is with our respect to processes and operational flow, if this evening we were here where had the vote gone one person one way, then there would be the necessity to make sure that an email goes out to those faculty members who have received a termination notice and recall that and get them back to work. And so I guess it's just part of an ongoing conversation. It's like I want to be able to have other regents chime in with their thoughts as well in terms of what this might look like had there been one more, you know, regent who said, yeah, let's.
Thank you for that comment, Regent Brooks. With all due respect, we have been debating this, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, Regent Tarkanian is not here tonight, but we need to move forward with this vote. So I will move forward with this roll call vote. Carrie?
Regent Brooks.
Okay. Because I seconded the motion, I'll say yes.
Regent Carter.
Yes.
Vice Chair Carvalho.
No.
Chair Del Carlo. Chair Del Carlo. Okay, she texted me that she's a no. If she couldn't get off mute, I'll record a no. Regent Dubrava.
No.
Regent Geddes.
No.
Regent McAdoo.
No.
Regent McMichael.
No.
Regent Moran.
No.
Regent Perkins.
No.
Regent Tarkanian is absent. Regent Ariscotta.
No.
Regent Boylan.
I'm going to abstain from that. I can do that, right?
Again, for the record, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, Deputy General Counsel. Typically, when there is an abstention on the record, it's because of a conflict of interest due to a disclosure that would be pre-stated. So did you have a conflict of interest you wanted to represent?
And no, I have no conflict of interest. But I'll tell you truthfully, I'm confused. We've changed it so often, you've sliced it and diced it, and I'm confused what's going on. Now we're going to change this to go to January 15th. Isn't that the motion? So I
can reread the motion to you,
please,
again, yes.
That would help me a lot.
So the motion on the floor that we're currently voting on is to maintain the existing code provisions except for an amendment to the effective date of the employee termination based upon failure to comply with the vaccination requirements from December 31st, 2021 to January 15th, 2022. It's option two in your...
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll vote yes for it.
The motion fails.
Thank you. Did you have something to say?
Thank you. Yvonne Navarez-Goodson, Deputy General Counsel, for the record. So for clarification then, because this vote has failed, the existing policy that is in place in Title II, Chapter 12, will remain in effect in its entirety, which means that any employee that has not complied with the requirements set forth in that code provision who have been notified of a termination will be effective December 31st, 2021.
Thank you, Deputy General Counsel Navarez-Goodson. So we will move on to item number three, which is the letter of support for student COVID-19 vaccinations for possible action. I will present this agenda item on behalf of Chair Pro Tem Del Carlo. As identified earlier in this meeting, the Board of Regents did not have the legal authority to impose a mandatory COVID-19 vaccination requirement as it related to students. Nevertheless, the NCHE COVID-19 Task Force, the Governor's COVID-19 Medical Advisory Team, and other medical and scientific experts have regularly advised the Board of their views that such vaccines should be mandatory to protect the health and safety of our campus communities. Based upon this advice and the decision of the Legislative Commission not to approve the mandatory permanent regulation, this agenda item seeks a determination of whether the board is in support of a student COVID-19 vaccine mandate such that it would direct the Chancellor in consultation with Chair Pro Tem Del Carlo to issue a letter of support on behalf of the board to the governmental entities with jurisdiction or authority to impose such a mandate, which may include the Governor, Board of Health, and or the Nevada legislature. On this matter, I will again take discussion from Regents in the order I have received requests, or I will otherwise entertain and accept a motion for discussion. So I have a queue started now, and let me just see who's up first. I have Regent Geddes and then Regent McMichael.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho. And I would say I'm supportive of all those measures. I support the student vaccine mandate. I've always been clear on that. I'm not entirely sure what those measures would actually result in based on the previous experience and what we've seen. But I think the Chancellor and staff should do everything to say that this board is supportive of student vaccines, as our students are, and do everything we can in that regard. And I think I don't know if it's a question for Yvonne or Caleb, but I asked a question earlier in the week, and we had a lot of restrictions that we put in place before the vaccine came out, such as the social distancing and the masking, and we relaxed some of those once the vaccines came out so that vaccinated students didn't have to wear masks outside, et cetera. And I just wanted, did we lose him?
Can you hear us? We can hear you.
Oh, okay. We just lost a second. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, the task force and the presidents and the chancellor would try and reinstate all of those activities that we had prior so that we, until we got resolution on the student vaccine, that we went back to make sure that we were as safe as possible on campus, and those restrictions that we relaxed, we clamped down on.
Thank you, Regent Geddes. I'm going to go to Chancellor Rose to answer that.
For the record, Chancellor Rose, through you and to you, to Regent Geddes, thank you for the question. And I would share that I have already requested and scheduled an official meeting Monday morning with the COVID-19 task force. And they are prepared to evaluate our current situation
As has been mentioned, it is fluid, and we have reason to be concerned about the health and safety of our students, staff, and faculty as we move into the spring 2022 term, particularly given the prevalence of the Omicron variant and its apparent ability, its apparent contagious abilities. So I am looking forward to hearing their recommendations. And Regent Geddes, I think you are also aware, but I'll state on the record that our legal counsel has made clear that we do in fact have the authority to pursue those mitigation measures, and we will aggressively do so. So the COVID-19 task force will convene Monday, provide recommendations. The presidents and I convene Wednesday to consider those recommendations, and we will be making decisions about health and safety of the campuses and moving forward on a fairly aggressive timeline, of course, in advance of the start of the term, so that everyone knows what those mitigation measures are before the term commences. So thank you for your concern.
Thank you very much. And if we could get a memo back out once you and the presidents have that timeline and the measures out to the board, I would appreciate it.
Certainly will do. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Regent McMichael, then Regent Brooks, and then Dr. Payson. Regent McMichael.
Yes. Did Regent Geddes make a motion to approve?
I don't believe he did.
I did not. Go ahead, Regent McMichael.
Okay. Well, I'm making a motion to approve.
So I have a motion from Regent McMichael to direct the Chancellor in consultation with Chair Pro Tem Del Carlo on behalf of the Board of Regents to issue a letter in support of COVID-19 vaccinations for students attending any NCHE institution to the appropriate governing bodies with jurisdiction to impose vaccine requirements, including without limitation, the Governor, Nevada Board of Health, and Nevada Legislature. Is there a second?
Second, Dubrava.
Second from Dubrava. Thank you. I'll go to Regent Brooks.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I have to tell you, I have a couple concerns with almost feeling like being part of a body that is asked to lobby for a particular outcome of a policy that from the very beginning I opposed. And so I'm going to vote no on this, but I'm going to add that there should probably be a friendly amendment to this motion, and that would be that once the letter is complete, it is provided to the regents before it's distributed to some of these areas that are slated for that letter to be delivered, so that the regents see it well before it goes out.
Regent McMichael and Regent Dubrava, would you approve that friendly amendment to your motion and second?
I'll accept that.
This is Regent Dubrava.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how that would work as this is meetings are taking place. Just from a bureaucratic standpoint, I can I appreciate Regent Brooks's request to have us all look at it. Then we get into wordsmithing, and it's kind of not the most efficient way to do it. Again, I can appreciate his comment, but I'm not going to accept that amendment.
I'm going to have Chief Deputy Counsel Navarez Goodson add a comment here, please.
Thank you again for the record, Yvonne Navarez Goodson, Deputy General Counsel. I just wanted to be sure that the board understood and to confirm the amendment here. What we would want to avoid, and the reason that this agenda item was written the way it was, is we wouldn't want the board acting outside of an open public meeting to vote to approve certain things, right? So so certain language, if you will. So the scope here was to direct your chancellor in consultation with the chair to send this letter of support. So it's really effectively offering the board an opportunity to move for it's saying that the board is in support of a student vaccine mandate for COVID-19. and authorizing your chancellor in consultation with the board chair to go ahead and issue that letter. So what I would not want to see happen and would be problematic under the open meeting law would be for the board to be deliberating behind the scenes on the terms or language of the letter.
Thank you. If it's okay, Vice Chair Pro Tem, I'll make a clarification then, because maybe I wasn't articulate enough. The idea of the friendly amendment to the motion wouldn't necessarily be so that the regents can receive it and then wordsmith it and edit it and add their own ideas to it. It was simply that prior to it going out, the regents who would be in support of this would not be blind in terms of what the letter states and how it's being presented. And so I feel like that's something that the body should at least be able to view prior to it being submitted, not for the purposes of editing and discussion, but just so that they know what's in the letter. I got to tell you, I feel like that's a reasonable expectation that the board should have if something is being pushed out with in other words, if the board is part of this type of document, they should know what's in it. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may,
just a moment.
Vice Chair Carballo,
please go ahead.
As this second of the motion, and again, I appreciate Regent Brooks, and he does bring a different set of eyes and a nice perspective. However, I think as a board, we have to have faith in our Chair Pro Tem and our chancellor to make sure that this letter basically says, if it passes at the will of this board, if it passes as a motion today, that letter is very concise and bland and just basically says we're in support of something. There doesn't have to be much more to it, I don't think. So again, Regent Brooks, I still don't accept the friendly amendment.
This is Regent McMichael.
Yes.
I withdraw my acceptance.
Okay. Of the amendment, Regent McMichael?
Of the amendment, yes.
Okay. So we still have a motion on the floor from Regent McMichael and a second from Regent Dubrava without that friendly amendment then. I have many people in the queue. I have Dr. Payson, then Regent McAdoo, Regent Boylan, then GPSA President Nicole Thomas, and then also President Austin Brown. So Dr. Payson.
Amy Payson, Faculty Senate Chair of UNR and also the Chair of the Council of Senate Chairs, coming again from GBC. The Faculty Senates are in support of the student vaccine mandate. And I want to underscore the conditions that we are teaching in that we feel like this is a necessary option. Teaching is a high-risk activity. In our classrooms, now that we are going back more in person, there's not social distancing currently. That means that large lecture classes, especially at UNLV, UNR, where we're going to have more than 200 students sitting in a lecture hall type of classroom environment, that's where we're teaching in. So think to yourself, if you are still avoiding going to movie theaters where you don't know the vaccination status of all that you're sitting around, if you're still avoiding large gatherings, as many of the current CDC guidelines tell us we should be doing, that's essentially what we're asking to do to be able to teach in person. And so to be able to teach safely in person, we believe that vaccinations as another layer of protections are a necessity. This is what we've heard from students as well on our campuses. They want to feel safe in their classrooms. They want to prevent severe disease. They want to prevent having to miss class due to having to isolate if they get infected. So keeping our students in the classroom means that vaccines that will prevent severe disease and shorten the amount of time they might have to be absent are important. So particular to our university mission, to our educational mission, these vaccines help us educate our students and keep everyone safely in the classroom. Secondarily, we also have to consider that because we're doing this high-risk activity, what impact does that have on our own communities? Again, all of our campuses have been watching the hospitalization rates, the infection rates within our communities. And when our hospitals get full up, we have to start making decisions about whether or not we have to pull back, whether or not we need to go remote with our classrooms or other activities on our campuses to ensure that the risks that we're taking to teach in person don't negatively impact our communities. So for that reason, not only for our students on campus, but for our surrounding communities, we are fully in support of the student vaccine mandate, as we are in support of employees having the vaccine as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Payson. Regent McAdoo.
Yes, I went into the queue quite a while back. And it was actually going to be a question also for the friendly amendment, but, and I certainly agree with Regent Brooks' comment, and actually Regent Geddes as well, when he asked for a memo on the letter to the regent. And considering the close vote, would it be a possibility that the letter could just come back to the board for approval of the letter, not a lot of editing, at the January 14th meeting? Maybe something to consider for new business. I'm in support of the letter, for sure. I don't think it's unreasonable for the regents to want to see it before it goes out. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yvonne Navarez-Goodson for the record. Regent McAdoo, was that a request for a friendly amendment to the motion that's on the table?
Yes, I would like to make that a friendly amendment for it to just come back to the board before it is sent out at the January 14th special board meeting.
Again, Yvonne Navarez-Goodson for the record. So that question would go back to Regents McMichael, who made the motion, and Regent Dubrava, who seconded the motion, which would mean that the letter would not be issued by the chancellor in consultation with, Chair Pro Tempore Del Carlo. It would come back at the January meeting.
Well, I think, in my opinion, it would mean that the chancellor and Chair Pro Tem Del Carlo would work together to write the letter, and the letter would just come back to the board meeting on January 14th so that we could see it, because it's being sent on behalf of the Board of Regents. When I consider the close vote on the previous item, I just thought that could be a way of, you know, making a smoother transition there.
This is Regent Dubrava.
Regent Dubrava, go ahead.
Regent McMichael, I would accept that if the maker of the motion would accept that as a friendly amendment, since we have a date where that letter would come back before the board.
Yes, this is Regent McMichael. I would accept that amendment.
Okay, so then the motion would be, for the board to direct the chancellor in consultation with the chair pro tem on behalf of the Board of Regents to draft a letter in support of COVID-19 vaccinations for students attending any NC institution to the appropriate governing bodies with jurisdiction to impose vaccine requirements, including without limitation, the governor, Nevada Board of Health, and Nevada legislature, to be approved at the January 14th Board of Regents special meeting. Would that be appropriate, an appropriate motion? I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth.
That would have been my friendly amendment, yes.
Thank you. And Regent McMichael, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Thank you.
I agree.
And Regent Dubrava, is that language?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you. Okay, so then I will move on to Regent Boylan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a few comments. I am not in support of mandating a vaccination for students either. They are adults. They can make the decision themselves, just as I don't support it for the rest. I do support what Regent Brooks and Regent McAdoo said, that if something is being sent out that holds our name, we should all know about it and read it before it is sent. And no wordsmithing, you're right. But I had one other thing. Yeah, we've taken all these mitigations and masks and blah, 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 and it's getting worse. Nothing's happening. All these things are not working. So, you know, I don't feel comfortable. I'm against the motion anyway, to have the chancellor write this, you know, supporting the vaccination for students. But if it is done, I would like to see it, even if I vote no and it fails, whatever. But I'd like to see it before it's sent out, if my name is going to be on it.
Thank you for your comments,
yes,
Regent Boylan.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I will now move to UNLV GPSA President Nicole Thomas.
Hi there. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Okay. I'm trying to express my frustrations in a way that's suitable for public record. I have spent well over 8 years in student government now. I have a master's of science. I've been in university land for over 9 years. And even in my first year, I feel like I knew how to manage myself in a meeting. I'm just shocked that we're postulating on other like members' votes. Like that's not open meeting law. Like you can't get roll call text. Like I'm kind of floored that we're arguing over whether or not to send a letter when us as students and instructors, we have to be back in the classroom in 2 weeks. We're the ones that have to deal with the fallout. But right now we're arguing over whether or not to sign a letter in support of maybe doing something else and then circling back to it later. I'm sorry you could hear my emotion, my frustration, mostly because there have been well over 700 instructors and students who have came here and just begged for you to do your job and to listen to us. But so I feel that apparently that doesn't matter. So I needed to express that for myself and my fellow graduate students because we're trying our best, and I feel like we're not being listened to. Thank you.
Thank you, President Thomas. Now I'll go to ASUN President Austin Brown.
Thank you, Vice Chair Carvalho. If I have learned one thing in my time as student body president, is that our students do better and are more successful when we are together in person and on our campus. Student engagement has been better than we could have ever anticipated this semester because students are excited to be back. They want to attend events in person, they want to go to the gym, and they want to be back in the classroom. But the other thing that I've learned from listening to our students is that they want to be back together safely. Today, I have the privilege of speaking on behalf of the 17,000 undergraduate students at the University of Nevada, Reno, when I tell you that we want this mandate to continue in place. We want to be on our beautiful campus for in-person instruction and activity, and the only way that we can continue to do this safely is to ensure that our peers, faculty, and staff are all doing their part to keep us safe by being vaccinated and protecting the Wolfpack family. Please vote in favor of this action item to keep our community safe. Our student success relies heavily on in-person operations, and this is the only way that we can ensure the future of Nevada is filled with bright, critically trained leaders who will continue to push our state forward. Thank you.
Thank you, President Brown. Now I'll go to Regent Geddes.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho. And I'll be brief. I don't think the amendment is necessary. I think what the chancellor and Chair Pro Tem are looking for is just assurance from this board that we support the student vaccine mandate. And however that vote comes out, I think it doesn't matter, in my opinion, what the words end up in the letter being, but I won't oppose the motion since Regent McMichael and Regent Dubrava support it. I won't oppose it. I just don't think it's necessary. I think What really they're looking for is that we actually support the student vaccine mandate. And as I've said many times, I do. So I'll support the vote, but I don't think it's, I don't think the amendment's necessary, but I'll support it.
Thank you, Regent Geddes. I don't see any other comment. Oh, Chancellor Rose.
Thank you, Vice Chair Pro Tem Carvalho. I appreciate it. For the record, Melody Rose, Chancellor of the Nevada System of Education. I wanted to respond to you and through to Regent Geddes and your comment, sir, regarding the need or lack thereof to bring the letter back. And I just want to point out that this conversation around student vaccines is happening now. The conversation with the Board of Health, the conversation with the governor's office, and with other governing bodies that have proper oversight of that matter is contemporaneous to these other discussions we are having. And I simply, you know, obviously will honor and follow through on whatever direction I receive tonight from this board. But I do want to point out that a two-week delay means a two-week delay, and that I don't have clarity from the board about where you sit on student vaccines. So I just want to make clear that the consequence of the motion as currently configured is that I will continue to be neutral on the issue when speaking with the bodies that have jurisdiction over the issue until I have clear direction from this board. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chancellor Rose. I have Regent Arascotta, and then we can go to Regent Boylan.
Yes, ma'am.
Quickly also, in regards to public comment, from Ms. Spike all the way down to Ms. Sumter, we hear everybody. I want to emphasize that. This is a heavy weight upon everyone's shoulders. We have well over 400 public comments that were submitted to the Chief of Staff Nick Olszewski. We read all of those. They will be in all of our minutes. This is an issue that we need to address. We need to address properly. A two-week postponement is something that provides the Chancellor's staff, the COVID-19 task force, and all governing bodies to at least develop, initiate a conversation in which this quite possibly could become policy. Then review it again in another 180 days. We hear everybody. We listen to each and every one that is in this room that has submitted paper. We follow not just the law with open meetings, but we listen to everyone. Just want to emphasize that.
Thank you, Regent Arascotta. Regent Boylan.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll say I agree with what Regent Arascotta just said. This is such a fluid situation that we have to move with it the way the COVID infection is fluid. It keeps changing. So it doesn't help for some people to be vindictive like that woman was. I don't know who she was on the screen to say that to us, that we have to do things. And I don't doubt that some of us are mixed up about certain things and others are perfect. And I'm glad. I'm glad there's some of you that know what's going on all the time and know everything. We don't. I don't. I have no doubt in the Chancellor's ability to write a proper letter from us, but I'm so glad she asked us to clear the fact that some of us are against the vaccine for students. And I know she does a great job, and whatever she sends out in writing, I enjoy reading it. So we don't doubt her. But I would like to see what goes out with my name on it. And then it's information that's shared. And like I said, it's a fluid situation. So no one knows everything. We'll make mistakes, but we'll figure this out. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Regent Boylan. we are going to go to a roll call vote. And then after that, I have a quick clarification from Deputy Chief General Counsel Navarez Goodson, and then we're going to take a quick break.
Regent Carter.
Yes.
Vice Chair Carvalho.
Aye.
Chair Del Carlo.
Aye. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Regent Dubrava.
Oh, my God, it worked.
Regent Dubrava.
Yes.
Thank you. Regent Geddes.
Aye.
Regent McAdoo.
Yes.
Regent McMichael.
Yes.
Regent Moran.
Yes.
Regent Perkins.
Yes.
Regent Tarkanian is absent. Regent Arascata.
Yes.
Regent Boylan.
No.
Regent Brooks.
No.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Deputy Chief General Counsel Navarez Goodson.
Thank you. For the record, Yvonne Navarez Goodson, Deputy General Counsel. I just wanted to clarify for today's record, now that we have the voice vote back for Chair Pro Tem Del Carlo, that her votes in the prior matters were recorded in writing with our Interim Chief of Staff, and just confirming on the record that we have a record of those votes. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take a break until Yes, Regent Geddes, did you have something?
I'm just sorry. Do we need a break, or can we just wrap this up?
The reason why I'm asking for a break is SCS needs to take care of some technology issues really quick, so I don't want to drop the meeting. So, 5 minutes would be good. So let's do 8:58. We'll be back at 8:58. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting back to order. All right, I know that we're right at the very end, so this is obviously an important part of our meeting as well, and I didn't want to cut us off at the last minute. But so we're going to go to agenda item number 4, new business. Is there any new business from any regions? No new business, I see. Agenda number 5, public comment. Is there any public comment in Reno? I'm not hearing any public comment in Reno. Reno is still on, correct? I'll move to Elko. Is there any public comment in Elko?
There is no public comment in Elko. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas?
Doug Unger, D-O-U-G-U-N-G-E-R, UNLV Chapter President, Nevada Faculty Alliance, and Government Affairs Representative. I want to present our petition, which now has over 3,400 signatures from the NG community in support of vaccine mandates for state employees. I would also like to say that we unanimously support student vaccine requirements. I want to explain to the board what's going on. We have faculty who are saying already, because of the 6-6 legislative commission vote, I will not meet with unvaccinated students one-on-one in the office. And because I can't ask my students who's vaccinated, I won't meet with any student in the office. We'll just do Zoom meetings. We have professors with babies at home who are vulnerable and can't be vaccinated who say, I don't want to teach in an unvaccinated class. I want to go to virtual, live remote teaching or online teaching right now. Faculty have a power. Our power is similar to what Bartleby the Scrivener had in Herman Melville's famous story, to say, I would prefer not to. This is what we are going to be telling our deans and our administrators. When they ask us to teach live and risk our lives and have to pay for our illness out of our own pockets with no safety net of long-term disability insurance, We will say, I will prefer not to. And there's not a thing an administrator can do about that. They can give us a bad evaluation. That'll take 3 years to work through the system. That's what's going on. And that's what you are supporting in a 6-6 deadlocked vote against student vaccinations. Our students and faculty want to return to in-person classes as soon as possible. We need the safety net of vaccination policies. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Unger.
Hi, Remington Longley, L-O-N-G-L-E-Y. Just a quick note for the board, just in terms of public transparency, because I know that one of the reasons that your action number two failed on extending this deadline was that you were worried about the public being confused with a reversal and then perhaps another vote in favor or against. Without the full board here, and nothing disparaging against Regent Tarkanian, but we're sort of at an impasse with 6-6, and I worry that with a tie vote, it would almost produce the same effect in the other direction, in the sense that you're going to accomplish public confusion in pursuit of knocking that down simply by, in effect, abstaining from taking any action at all on any specific response to whether we're going to uphold the mandate or whether we're going to shoot it down for employee vaccination. And so I would almost, just as a thought of public comment, urge the board to reconsider their vote on 2 and to extend that meeting to January to have a second revisitation. In the event that we have a full board present and all 13 votes can be present and accounted for, so we can actually give the public some clarity, perhaps some delayed clarity, but clarity nonetheless on what NG's Regent's stance is going to be on this, because you know, your third action wasn't actually considered, which was a full-on repeal of this amendment, which it would seem with Regent Tarkanian perhaps could pass and could provide the public some clarity on that matter. And so thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good evening once again. For the record, my name is Olivia Cheche, O-L-I-V-I-A, last name C-H-E-C-H-E, and I'm a senior at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And while I am happy to see that the employee vaccine mandate is being kept in place as is, it is not lost on me that this outcome is merely the result of two failed motions, including one made by Regent Geddes in support of the first option under the agenda item. It is also not lost on me that this board can't even express united support for student vaccine mandates. Tonight, I heard hesitations about writing a letter of support for this cause, which is actually below the bar of what we should be striving for with regards to good policy that prioritizes community health and safety. Let's be honest, most students don't know that you all exist. And the ones that do know you, a lot of the ones that do know you exist don't exactly have the greatest impression of you. In fact, they know you all as the people who voted to implement student surcharges during a global pandemic, and now they will know you as the people who couldn't even come together to express unequivocal support for vaccine mandates that will keep our campuses safe. With regards to health policy in higher education, Nevada is falling behind as other schools across the nation are progressing forward. However, I actually don't think that anybody on this board should be sorry, because quite frankly, you just should have been or done better to begin with.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good for you.
Hello, I'm Natalie McMahon, M-C-M-A-H-O-N, and I work for the College of Southern Nevada. I work in the controller's office. I've been working from home for 2 years now. I have ADA accommodation to work from home, and my doctor is the one that told me not to take the vaccine. So now I'm being told I have to test weekly from my bedroom. I don't understand how you can sit here and make light of the 379 people that'll be out of work tomorrow. I don't understand how you just, you know, you just sit there in your comfy little chamber where you all talk together. There's two people that are at least concerned about the employees. But how is it about health and safety if we're having to test when we never come on campus, when we don't work with students, we don't work with staff? So can you guys try to think about everyone and not just the vaccinated are getting sick, cruise ships are being overwhelmed again, and they're fully vaccinated.
Thank you. Hello, for the record, Sophia Toktajan, T-A-K-H-T-A-D-J-I-A-N. I just wanted to bring up a point that Regent Tarkanian is constantly being mentioned about her possible vote. And as regents, you guys should know that you cannot speak of a possible vote of someone who is not here. Tarkanian is not here today. The mention of her vote in a consideration for your own vote is should be completely off the table and should not be spoken of at all. It is a violation of Nevada open meeting law and should not be done. It is improper, and you should be considering your vote for yourself and vote for the people that you represent, not the vote of another individual who's not even here today. So I urge you to consider the people that you represent when you are making votes today, when you are making votes in the future, and just do your job for the people, not for your own interest, not for someone who's not even here. Do it for the people that you represent who will benefit from making sure we have vaccine mandates for both students and employers. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, Robert Bellucci for the record. I am a UNLV student and representative of CSUN. And throughout my immense disappointment today with the regents, one thing really stood out to me is the recommendation to just not have any vaccine mandate and come back in 180 days and see what happens. And I want to remind all of you that we're students, we're people, we're not your guinea pigs. So unless you're going to come down and sit in the classrooms with us, and you're going
we're
to come
public
down.
Comment. Yeah.
Everyone, please make sure you're on mute unless you're speaking. I'm sorry, please
no problem.
Continue.
Unless you are going to come down and sit in the classrooms with us, with your constituents, and be those guinea pigs and be those test subjects, take that into consideration. Take our health. Take our well-being. Take the well-being of the people that you need to be representing, not just your own public
voice. Yeah, I can come out.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder again, please place yourself on mute.
Zachary Donegan, student body president, College of Southern Nevada. I just wanted to make a comment about agenda item number 2 that was discussed today. There was no deliberation or discussion about option 3, so I strongly encourage the Board of Regents to put that on possibly your next agenda for discussion to repeal the code provisions in their entirety, thereby eliminating the vaccine requirement for all NSHE employees and revoking all previously issued notices of termination based on vaccine status and revoking any determinations and or conditions imposed upon employees under approved waivers of mandatory vaccinations based upon a medical condition or religious belief. I stand firmly that it is the human right that you have the decision to put what you want inside of your body. That shouldn't be up to a governing institution or body or anyone else. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go back up to Reno to make sure that there's no public comment in Reno.
Yes, we do have public comment in Reno.
You do have public comment? Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can everyone hear me? Perfect. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to keep everyone here late. However, I did have something that I do feel needs to be expressed. First of all, I'd like to thank the regents who tried their best throughout the meeting to protect the interests of the student body.
Excuse me, can you please state your name for the record? And also, the camera's not on you, we can't see you. So I'm sorry, but please state your name for the record.
Gotcha, my apologies. Nathan Noble for the record, N-A-T-H-A-N-N-O-B-L-E. I would like to thank the regents in this meeting who consistently operated with the best interests of the students in mind. And I would also like to express my shock, frankly, at the level of professionalism that I saw today. I am honestly stunned. I'm stunned about so many things that I saw here today. However, I think that fundamentally, There is a problem of not taking this seriously enough. As students, we have no choice but to take it seriously. We're confronted with it every day. This is our lives. And this is very literally our well-being put on the front lines every day. And so I honestly find it mildly insulting for people to suggest that we run an experiment on students for 180 days and see what happens. I find it insulting to insist on a delay so that we can get our ducks in line when, frankly, we don't have the time to spare. I'd like to thank every region on this board who advocated for students. You know who you are, and we do too. But for the rest of you, please, think of the students, think of the people who this will affect, think of the faculty, and please, please, do your job. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment in Reno?
No, there's not.
Thank you. I have, is there any virtual public comment from anybody from home? Okay, seeing none, I will adjourn this meeting at 9:13 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you.